starts. The Don and Mike Show.
Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest?
How about this?
You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. Nothing left to be radio. That's just for us.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich, and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
Just people, it's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
How you doing? Here it is, the Don and Mike Show, and I want to tell you something. Don and Mike are here. They're in the building, and they're doing some lawyer stuff. They're going to come on the air just as soon as possible, very soon. So stick around until Don and Mike can come on the air. Got some best of for you, so stick around, enjoy it. It was chosen especially for you, so I know you'll enjoy it, and Don and Mike will be here shortly. Until they are, enjoy the best of Don and Mike, a Christmas present from our family to yours.
I got something funny to tell you.
Yes?
What? I was just having a little Redskins meeting with Ken Stevens.
Yes, you were.
And guess who is going to be on the field introducing the starting lineups for the Redskins on opening day against the Dallas Cowboys? It's not me.
All right, give me just a little vague hint.
He's in this room.
Rob Spiewak.
That's right.
Rob Spiewak. On opening day?
On opening day, the Redskins against the Dallas Cowboys.
Will actually be introducing the players?
Oh, yes.
Oh, right. Oh, my God.
That's right.
And now.
How funny is that?
Cool. You will be the charming MC. Now, will you be... Well, that sounds like the booth announcer. Will you be able to do that, or what?
They're whoring it out this year. That's where
they're sponsored, right?
That's where Arch Campbell was involved last week.
Right.
They're going to have somebody from the media come out every week,
right?
Get on the field with the microphone about a half hour before the game to introduce the teams.
How wacky is that?
Oh, that's fantastic.
So Ken said to me,
fantastic, man. Get it on tape. That's all I want to
It'll
say.
It'll be on tape.
Ken came in and said, the Redskins would like you to do this the first week to me. And I said, I can't do it because I'm going to be doing the pregame show and to do the introductions.
Right.
I said, what is about Rob A? Ken looked at him, and at first, Ken thought I was goofing.
Yeah,
right?
He did. Right. He did. He says, we don't want to make a joke of it.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Now here are your starting lineups for today's game.
And he'll be, not only will he be introducing the Redskins, he'll be introducing the Cowboys, too.
Please welcome Troy Aikman.
Troy Aikman.
Yeah, you got to do it like that.
I'll do my best not to mispronounce any name.
And wear burgundy. In gold.
Always.
Absolutely.
As I am right now.
That's funny.
Congratulations. That's why you're walking with a limp right now, isn't it, Rob?
Oh, that is great. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hi, I'm calling. I listen on WJFK.
Well, thank you for that.
Well, you guys have a real moron during the traffic today.
I would agree with you.
Not me.
No.
No. No, I mean, you know, he says the traffic, and then he goes,
we're going to have to agree to disagree on that one.
No, then he goes, yeah. And you can still hear him. Complete idiot.
Well, now, are you talking about the tapes we're playing? Because, you know, the guy...
We play that tape as a tribute to him, ma'am.
You mean when he said...
No way.
When he said this?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was so pathetic.
Yeah.
No, I listen to you guys every day, and I've never heard that.
Hold on.
That's the tape. That was us.
When you said the guy is awful, and I said yes, I only said that because the guy's a friend of ours.
He's a friend of ours, and he did that one time whenever he was doing. In fact, I think it might have been for the Crystal City restaurant that he was doing.
Yeah. This guy was doing a commercial for a strip club, and he during the commercial said,
"Oh yeah."
So you certainly can't pass judgment on him for saying, "Oh yeah," because that's a tape we have from a commercial he had previously.
Okay.
That we play at the end of his traffic because it's kind of a goof on him because we worked with him.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Well, the only other thing is that it's too bad that Don is not doing that coaching thing for that Keanu movie, because I certainly would have gone to see it then.
Oh, well, thank you.
And if you had seen me in that movie, I know you would say,
oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So would you like to say anything to the fantastic traffic guy that's working today in place of our regular traffic reporter? Is there anything you'd like to say to him?
Idiot.
Okay. Ah, yes. Way to back off. He's so nice.
Oh, he's not an
idiot. There you go. Nice lady.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Good evening.
Hello there.
How are you doing today?
We're doing great, thank you.
I'd like to get Dennis Murphy to come down to Greenville, South Carolina, and MC one of our baseball games for the Greenville Braves.
Well, I'm sure you could get him on his website at DennisMurphy.com.
But maybe Don and Mike could tell him, you know, say, hey, do this for us.
Why would Don and Mike want to do that? 100th person today who's called the show and can't seem to realize you're talking to us.
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ.
What's the problem? Are our voices that generic?
Listen, even if you want to say the voices are generic, there are two people on the phone.
Hello? It's two of us. You see, it's him.
I'm on my cellular phone. I'm used to hearing you guys in stereo.
No, I don't buy that. I'm on a cellular phone.
I think everyone in our... I sound like Dan Quayle. I think everyone in our listening order wear a badge of honor. No, they have to... they have to pay attention more. They have to... You know what you have to do as a listener when you call this show?
What is it?
You have to pay attention.
Please.
Like, pay attention to when
Please.
They tell you... Was that a saliva gurgle?
Yes, it was.
Was that phlegm or just...
Yes, it was some phlegm.
As a badge of honor.
Is there a chance we could get a replay?
Yeah, replay that. that really was some of my mucus working its way up the throat here.
That was cool.
Hand me a ladder so I can get out of this hole.
All right, goodbye. You're out of the hole. I just hung up on you. Here you go.
Have to pay attention more. They have to. You know what you have to do as a listener when you call this show?
What is it?
You have to pay attention.
Please.
Like.
Oh, dear.
Oh, my God.
Rewind it.
Isolated him.
You got to have it forever.
Please, we have to.
Okay,
all right,
hold on. Here it is.
Oh, hold on.
A man is drowning here. Have to pay attention.
Please.
Like, pay.
Oh, God, I'm getting the headache.
Rewind it again, Rob.
Oh, rewind.
That's too funny.
Okay, all right. Oh.
What is it?
You have to pay attention.
Please.
Oh, man.
You know what I think of right now? I think of all Smokey Rivers.
I thought Smokey Rivers should eat it. It comes into or it goes out of the human body.
Here, one more time, Rob.
Please, yes.
Sounds like I did on purpose, certainly.
Let us know when you call this show.
What is it?
You have to pay attention.
Please.
Like, pay
attention. See what you people do to me? See what you made me do? See what you made me do?
It's their fault.
It's their fault, Mike.
I swear to God, it's their fault.
It's totally their fault. I couldn't do that again if I tried.
No way.
No, I tried. And you know something? When I heard it the first time, I'm talking too, so I can't hear exactly. But only when I heard it on the tape did I really get to hear it.
My hot, warm phlegm.
I asked if it was saliva. No, it is phlegm.
Phlegm. Definitely phlegm. You can see phlegm.
That's my new disc jockey name.
That earlier accident on the... Why'd you point one, Robbie?
On number two. Hold on.
Number two. All right, hold on.
Go ahead.
They have to pay attention more. They have to. You know what you have to do as a listener when you call this show?
What is it?
You have to pay attention.
Please.
Like, pay attention.
Oh, that's embarrassing,
man.
Yeah.
But it's good. Oh, you know it's good.
Oh, it's embarrassing.
Oh, my God, please. Mm.
Hello.
It's the real stuff.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Real show.
Hi, Don. How you doing?
Hey, baby.
You know that phone number that you have that you do the dodo?
Yes, us re-okay dodo.
Yeah, it drives me crazy. D-O is do, like in doo-doo.
No, D-O-D-O is Dodo.
Do in Do-Re-Mi, man.
Well, Doo-Doo sounds funnier.
But no. Do is in Do-Re-Mi.
And if technically I think you're going to spell Doo-Doo, it would be D-O-O-D-O-O.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, you have it wrong, ma'am.
Us Rio K Dodo, that's the phone number.
Thanks.
Remember that, please.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Love
you. No, love you. Thank you.
Bye.
Do we have it? I mean, do we have it forever?
I think we got to isolate it during the commercial.
Still, got to put it on the tape for us.
I'll tell you one thing. Now, I've brought up a lot of phlegm after that, too.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, I caught the tail end of you a little while ago, and I caught the thing that you're having a problem with they're trying to take you off the air.
Yeah, that's right.
Man, I sit there, I went to one of your shows, and I didn't drink a thing, and I didn't have a problem with it, and I thought, you know, if they're trying to take you off the air just because of the content, that's wrong.
Right, we appreciate that. Thank you, my friend.
Really,
we're very upset with them trying to take us off the air.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to let you know, what that caller could not recognize your voice, that it is hard to recognize your voice when you're talking over the phone.
Okay, but my point to him was, if you're calling the show and there are two people on the telephone.
Hi there.
Wouldn't that be a clue that maybe you're on the air and that you haven't been through to Rockhead? Not to mention the fact that
I used to always listen to people who didn't know it was you, and I'd go, what idiots?
Well, now, what makes it so difficult? I want to know what makes it so difficult.
I finally called and got through last week and realized that it is hard because I can't tell when you pick up the phone.
Hold on. Let me explain something. When you call the regular phone, when you don't get through on the air, when you talk to the screener, he picks up the telephone.
Yeah.
And it sounds like this. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah.
I know when you call and you get through on the air, you hear this sound. You hear like a little...
Yeah, I know that now.
A whoosh.
Right. And it's obvious that you're hearing us coming through microphones. It's not the same sound
as this. It's a different sound.
Well, okay, that's true.
I don't think our voices are generic on the telephone. And I don't think that, I understand there are two people here, but I also think that when you pick up the phone and you say, it's not like you have a difficult voice to recognize.
Say, Don and Mike Show, hello, and then someone says, can I talk to Don and Mike? And they say, you're on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And then that person...
I always thought those people were idiots.
and one of those people are idiots, honey.
But then it is hard to tell.
Well... Okay, but even if you have trouble distinguishing our very distinguishable voices, when you call a radio show and someone says, you're on the air, what's the problem there?
Well, sometimes when you say hello and you're on hold, you don't know if they're talking, you know, if you're talking to me or somebody else, because they're just listening to the program.
I don't think we're asking too much of our listeners to know when they pick up the phone and they hear you're on the air. Frankly, if they're not bright enough to figure it out, they shouldn't be calling the friggin' show in the first place.
I think they should be able to recognize that it's you if you pick up the phone and say, yeah. You know what?
Okay, that's true. That's true.
You want to answer the phone by saying yeah.
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 All right, goodbye.
Thank you. Bye.
What a dumb bunny she was. Yeah. See, I'm trying, Mike.
I just hung up on
scared
him.
Yeah,
he didn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, that doesn't
that's
work. Everybody hangs up when I say
damn
yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Please. Yeah, you're on the air.
Yeah.
No, you're really on the air.
Yeah,
Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I know it. Hello. Yeah.
Hello.
Yes.
It's Don and Mike.
See, it doesn't work, Mike.
It doesn't work. No, I guess you have to...
Hey, you can totally tell when it's you guys or when it's...
No, you just contradicted yourself.
You're calling to say you can tell when it's us, but you didn't know it was us.
Yeah, I think it was my cell phone, but that was my...
No, you're busted. You can't do that.
No, I'm serious.
You can't call and say you guys are easy when you're somebody who didn't know it. It doesn't work that way. You can't backtrack out of that.
I'm telling you the truth, because my point was, Rockhead, when you call him, he's all,
No, but listen, hold on. Hear us out. Your point is that you can tell the difference, yet you called... And I picked up the phone, Rockhead didn't.
And you said Don and Mike with a question mark on the end of it.
You didn't know it was us.
You didn't know it was us.
I was on hold. My cell phone broke up.
No, you weren't.
You can't do it now.
No, you weren't.
It's Providence.
No, it's not Providence,
please. Nobody wants to, admit when they're wrong.
Right. Hello, Don and Mike.
Especially us.
Yeah, of course. Hello.
Hello?
Hello there.
Can I speak to Donna Mike?
You're on the air, unless this is some phony hillbilly accent.
Huh?
What an asswipe.
I swear to God.
Damn it.
I don't know why I'm enjoying this.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
I don't know why.
Hello.
You know why? Because I'm just a very stupid man.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello?
Come on.
Hello there.
Hello there. How are you?
See, she knows who we are.
She knows.
I know it's you.
No
I
coaching.
Answer the phone.
No right. Coaching required.
Yeah, all I said was hello, like it was answering a regular phone.
Right. That's right.
Yes, hello, baby.
Hey, baby.
Hey, baby.
What's up? Hey, I just called to say that I could recognize that it was you answering the telephone. I'm so tired of people calling saying, Dynamite.
Right. Now, she's allowed.
Turn your radio down.
She is allowed to say that because she did recognize
it. Correct.
The other guy, the reason we were giving him a hard time is because he was trying to say that, but he didn't recognize
it. But he didn't. That's right. And you know what? I'm getting ready to go under the 3rd Street Tunnel and watch DC, so we're going to get cut off.
All right,
see
baby.
Ya.
Enjoy that tunnel.
Okay.
Think of me when you go in that big tunnel. Because, you know, that's very phallic when you go in a tunnel.
Yes, it is, honey.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hamilton, come over here. What are you doing?
I'm changing.
But you took off your Captain Hook uniform.
Well, I thought I'd put my street clothes on for the drive over to IBM. The uniform's kind of uncomfortable.
Hamilton, you're going over there as a representative of Captain Hook Fish and Chips. Part of our image, part of our appeal is that uniform. You know that.
You really want me to put this stuff back on?
Yes, I do. Show a little pride.
Yes, sir.
The Don and Mike Show.
Gorgy. The Don and Mike Show.
I'm riding up to here with the likes of you people.
Where do I begin? I could certainly bore Mike with the stuff I was just telling him in the office about my wife. I think I'll...
That didn't bore me.
I think I'll wait till later to tell you how things are going with my wife and I.
I empathized with your situation. I totally did.
I mean, things are going fine. It's just...
Good.
You know,
I understand.
Sometimes...
A little tense.
There's too much. Mm. I mean, there's too much information that is given out in just a very small amount of time.
Yeah, and I think that's what life is all about. It's all about timing. It's all about, you know, that's when people get a little overwhelmed, when things come one right after another, and just
frankly,
a little overkill.
You know, I could take all the stuff that I told you about in the office that I will get into later, which is just the humdrum every day.
Sure.
You know, being married for 18 years, that stuff. But then when you top that off,
mm-hmm.
with the life insurance guy coming over
right.
to sign papers, and I have to sit... While my wife and this guy are discussing how much money she's going to receive when I die,
right,
and when they're making it sound like, for all they know, it could be tomorrow.
Sure.
You know, it takes the edge off a little bit.
I understand. And, you know, what you were telling me in the office was simply a series of circumstances that happened to all come at the same time, and I understood completely why you were a little... put off.
All of the events today, but I won't waste your time with that right now. I'll wait until later to waste your time with that.
Very good.
Because I have a present that I want to open up
okay.
on the radio that came from the good people at Portland Volvo.
Portland, Maine or Portland, Oregon?
Maine. Portland,
God
Maine.
God love them. Man, love the Maineites.
Great. Portland, Maine.
Send him a package.
From Scarborough, Maine, it says, Dear Don and Mike, I heard Don talk about fixing his Volvo and thought he might like a few Volvo toys.
Oh, cool.
I wasn't quite sure what to send except another headlight. Now, look what this guy sent me. Robbie, bring the box over. Take a look at this.
That is a big Volvo box that you have.
Huge. Take a look at this.
You can get a Volvo.
It says Volvo on the outside of it.
Now, look at this. This is a gigantic... sign that lights up.
Oh, that's cool.
That I'm going to put in my garage that says Volvo Service Department. Now, that's fantastic.
That is somebody great. Who's thinking it's got little credit card signs on the one side of
that
it.
That is great. And you know what's so great is that tomorrow I'm yes. going to attempt to put the brake pads on the car tomorrow morning.
That's exciting. And so you'll be able to have your service department light on top of it.
Look at that. It's got the little things on top so you can hang this baby up. This came out of a real car dealership.
Right. It did. There's the service department and you're garage.
Is that fantastic?
That's pretty cool. Who's the guy that sent it
Hold
to
on,
you?
Let me get the letter. Wait a minute.
It's got the logo.
John Knight.
Way to go, Johnny.
Oh, wait, he sent me more crap, too.
Love me. Love those people up there.
Sent me a headlight.
Well, you have a headlight.
No, he sent me an extra one for the next time it busts.
There you go.
Great. And he sent me, what are these? Gloves. Oh, I guess they're gloves to work on the car with.
Let me see. Are they driving gloves or working gloves?
No, they're working gloves. Look at, they're like, they're plastic gloves, like to work on the car with.
I guess that's what the guys use. Rob, is the light working?
No, it doesn't seem to work.
What light?
Rob was plugging your light in to see if it worked.
Oh. It did not light up.
Hmm. Oh, it did not light up?
No, maybe that's why it parted with it.
Oh.
Maybe you should put that bulb in there.
Does it have a bulb, Rob?
No, this is the bulb for my car. the H7.
Doesn't have a switch on it or anything?
I bet it has a switch on it. I bet it just doesn't instantly go on when you plug it in. Oh, what did you do?
I think I figured it out.
What?
Listen to this. I think there is a bulb in it.
Yeah.
In pieces.
That's all right. It. Well, you know what? It's still it won't light up.
Well, you know what? We've got fluorescent lights here. Undo the back of it and put a real bulb in it.
Sure. No, don't worry about it.
It's got like 60 screws.
Yeah, don't worry about it. I'll just take it home. Just hang
give
it up.
Give it to Wendell. He can take care of that in 2 minutes.
That's
or
right.
It's true.
You know, that's not a bad idea. Why don't you give that to Wendell and ask
Wendell
him
loves
to fix
jobs.
That.
He loves projects like that.
Ask him to fix that for me. I want to thank the good people at Portland Volvo. That is a wonderful sign that I will hang in my garage.
That's terrific, and you know how I feel about people up in Maine. I think that's good folks. They got their thinking caps on them.
That's right. Nice. A big giant box that says Volvo on it.
Yo, Virgil!
Now that is funny.
I had that disc jockey. He's talking about his car. He likes to work on it. Why don't you give him that old sign we don't need in the garage anymore? Send
that's good. I cannot wait to get home and do that.
Say that. Yeah, that one that we have in the back room that says service department, just put that on the, give that to the UPS man. Send it right down to him.
Oh, you know, I did forget to tell you about in the office something else that happened to me at home today.
Yes.
That we also had the wonderful experience of Jehovah's Witnesses coming to our house today. And real upscale Jehovah's Witnesses, they're driving a Lexus.
Now, really?
Yeah. Shouldn't Jehovah's Witnesses be like taking those, like a rickshaw around or something? Or shouldn't they be on horseback or something?
Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. I was on a farm full of Jehovah's Witnesses, and we went to a picnic for a lady that used to babysit for my kids, and she was a Jehovah's Witness. And we went out there, and we were on the farm of this huge, huge farm. I mean, this guy had everything. He had dump trucks. He had acres and acres of land. He had this huge house, and he was extremely wealthy, and he was a Jehovah's Witness.
Well, I'm sure it was one of my wife's friends. I saw this nice Lexus pulling up. Brand new Lexus.
Be surprised. There are many that they live among us.
Wow. Yeah.
Hey, hi, honey.
Well, hi. We're just talking to Mom.
To your mom.
Yeah.
Oh, what a nice happenstance that is.
Well, what a surprise.
I was just talking about those freaking Jehovah's Witnesses.
Oh, they were very pleasant people. Now you don't have to be hostile.
Oh, no, I wasn't hostile because I didn't talk to them.
I know, and I tried to spare them. Because they left off their literature, which actually I would read because I'm curious about all different types of religions, and
stay away.
I know. Then they started to say, and they said, "Well, we'll come back and discuss it with you." And I'm thinking to myself, you know, you're lucky you met me at the door.
Anybody that wants to come to my house to try to sell me on religion, forget about that.
If you don't want to worry about celebrating Christmas, though, it's a good religion to be a part. They don't celebrate the holidays
or birthdays.
Or
birthdays.
Handy for those.
Oh, I could never do that then.
No birthdays.
I
love Christmas.
Love Christmas. I love birthdays.
No presents. But Mike, it would be handy for you because you wouldn't have to make those homemade cards and all that kind of stuff. You wouldn't be caught by surprise.
Yeah, I know. And are you? I never got you your card, did I?
No, I think you're like 3 years in arrears.
I gave Rob a beautiful mobile on his birthday.
A mobile with Mike's publicity photo.
It was
all chopped up.
It was lovely. Rob collects them, you know.
What a pain in the ass, though, these people. They come pulling up to the door. I was positive with some of my wife's, society friends. Mm-hmm. And I said, honey, it's for you. It's
because
a Lexus.
They were driving a big, expensive car, too.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I'm probably the only person here. I've had a house full of them. I've entertained a whole table full of Jehovah's Witnesses.
Right. And it was okay.
We had a great time.
Good.
I was able to make a Jehovah's Witness joke. And it was, we had a woman work for us for a long time, and there was never any, she understood. I put the ground rules down right away that, your religion is your religion. I respect it.
Find them to be very intrusive. I don't like them coming to the door and
they're
trying to peddle their voodoo.
I forgot what they call it. There's a name for it, too, when they're doing that. It's not voodoo. It's not witnessing.
No, I had it right.
It's where they
voodoo.
Where they go door to door. They're all obligated to do a certain
peddling.
Hours of peddling.
They're peddlers. That's what they are.
You're supposed to do a number of hours.
Isn't it recruiting for Satan?
No, no, Rob, that is incorrect.
Hey, did anybody watch? Anybody watch that movie last night? The movie with Kate Jackson.
Oh, Aaron Spelling's movie.
About what was it? It was Girls of Satan or something like that.
No, I didn't see that.
It was Satan School for Girls.
That was it.
Aaron Spelling's remake of the 1974 Aaron Spelling movie.
It was on Channel 7 last night. It wasn't bad.
Was it all about Jehovah's Witnesses? Is that what it was about?
No, I just turned it on for a second and saw Kate Jackson, and there was no one talking like in the scary Exorcist voice. I turned it right off.
And she was in the original. She was one of the girls in the original.
Right.
So, honey. How did you enjoy that meeting today with the insurance guy? You love talking about my impending death, don't you?
You know what? I thought I would make you feel better because he was telling me the one way in which we could get richer and richer as you hung on to your life. And then, you know, we'd really hit the jackpot when you ended up kicking the bucket. And I said, you know, we don't have to have that figure going up and up and up because...
It sounded very discerning to sit there and listen to Frida and this guy, this insurance guy, Ron. The two of them are making happy, snappy conversation back and forth about... Now, if he was to die now, you would get this much. But if he manages to hang on somehow for 10 more years, you'll get this much.
It's amazing. It freaks me out.
And once... If he gets to this old, you'll get this much.
Wow.
And I'm just sitting there.
I hope you're proud of me, because I said, look, I don't want to get rich off his death, you know.
No, and you did say that, but you did want to make sure that the house would be paid off.
I just wanted to be able to keep my same lifestyle.
When I die, you can understand why I would find that just
absolutely
a tad insulting.
You just want to keep your same lifestyle, but you certainly don't want to be wealthy.
Right, I don't want it to really hurt my
routine. Touché! Touché!
I don't want to change my routine too much.
Sure,
I imagine that week I will be inconvenienced.
And this morning, oh, Christ, did we go through it this morning? About... You know, we have not even gone up to New York yet to do the show.
Plans.
We have not even gone to New York yet to do the show from WNEW. We'll start doing that in a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, last night when we were going to bed, she's got a book, Where to Live in New York. And she's looking through this book, and she says to me, you know what might be good if we just sublet an apartment in New York?
I just finished emailing somebody on that. You know.
And I said last night, because I just wanted it to go away, I said, you know what? We can discuss this another time. Well, little did I know that another time was going to be 8 hours later.
Sure.
This morning when I came down for breakfast, when the first thing, again, you know, and why you like doing this, before I've had a chance to wake up or have any coffee, I don't know. It was like I come downstairs, and she is bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and she goes, hey, we're going to sublet an apartment in New York. And I said, I'm going up there 2 days a week. You and Bart are going to, like, come up on the occasional week. I don't want an apartment. In New York, and we went through a whole big drawn-out scene this morning about this.
But, you know, I was thinking, Boo, to your credit and my credit, that we had a heated discussion, and we ended it by reaching a compromise and hugging. And I thought, what a good lesson for our son on how to resolve a conflict and come to a common ground.
Yeah, and I'd like to just point out that the compromise we reached was that I said, you know what? I've not even gone up there yet to start this new job.
Right.
How about letting me get up there and let me start the job before you halfway move us to New York?
And I will just research it and get everything squared away, which is the way it works in our family, because I'm the one who looks into researching. And
if you sublet an apartment, how does that pay for itself if you're going to be up there 2 days a week?
Well, because to begin with, you know, it's a lot less expensive than if you had a hotel room every night, and you don't have to cook as much because it has a kitchen and everything, and you just sublet it for a month, and it's kind of...
I'm hearing this morning, and I'm thinking, I have not even been up there. I don't even. I mean, I know the station's in Midtown Manhattan, but beyond that, I don't even know where the station is.
Oh, I know where it is, and I've...
I know! What did I tell you, Mike? She got a goddamn map in the...
Man, I'd love to know where it is. Where is it?
I've got the map on my Palm Pilot, so I won't get lost.
It sounds to me like what I'm hearing here is that your wife's going to be moving full-time to New York.
No, I'm just doing a little, I think it's exciting, maybe for a month or something, a vacation.
Oh, honey, see, that, for me it's a job, for you it's a vacation.
Well, like I was talking with Ross Stevens today, and we were talking about you and Ken, you guys have to work, but other than that...
That's dangerous.
You know,
that's dangerous when Ross calls.
Grown. I mean, somebody has to earn the living, and we understand that. We respect you for it, but don't get in our way. You know, I mean, I'd like to go to New York for a few weeks. I think it would be exciting.
I understand. Just, you know, I mean, you know, and you'd also like to go to Spain this summer. Well, and then you'd like me to also pay for your mother to go to Spain.
Let me see if I get this right, pretty. You're going to be living in New York?
Well, not full time. Not full time, but I will go up there.
You know what will probably end up happening? She will probably end up getting a goddamn apartment in New York, and I will be end up staying at whatever the crappy CBS trade hotel is.
No, you can come and stay with me if I don't have, like, friends up there, because, you know, most of my, my girlfriends
were. It was just too much today.
And I also, honey, I didn't even go into the other idea that we could share an apartment with the O'Meara. Oh,
Jesus Christ.
Right. And honey, then we could use it alternately.
Honey, slow down.
Okay, well, these
slow
are
slow down. You know what? We've not even been up there to do one show from New York.
She's very excited.
I know she is. She's excited that I'm soon going to die and she's going to get rich.
Yeah.
She's excited that apparently I'm paying for her to go to Spain this summer with her mother.
Oh, yeah.
She's excited that we're going to be subletting an apartment in New York when I haven't even been to New York yet.
Well, you know, the good thing about that is the New York real estate prices. They're very reasonable.
Oh, and then that's the other thing she was telling me. She was looking at prices. And I said, do you realize what kind of crack house we're going to be living in for the money you're talking about?
No, Snoopy Bear, I've got to hear. I mean, if you're talking about the price of a hotel, you think that they're reasonable in New York?
No, but I think it would be more reasonable if we're going to New York for 2 days a week.
Yeah,
I think it would be more reasonable to stay in a hotel than to rent an apartment.
You will be there 2 days a week, but I was thinking maybe taking a longer weekend there or being there. You know, I was
imagine. How great it must be to be you. How great it must be to be you.
It is good.
Life is an adventure for you. Jesus.
I enjoy my life.
You've got to get an apartment in New York.
And I told you in my last life.
Go to Spain. I'm going to buy some more insurance and pray to God that I die so that you'll be even richer.
In my last life, I had a very hard time. And I think it's just my karma come around this
Okay. I don't want to upset you here, but I'm going to say this to your wife because I think if she was to do this, it would be, I know how Frieda operates, and Frieda would probably gather quite a bit of information about, you know, what to do, how to live, you know, where to go, the transportation situation. She would probably be a very good person to like. Sorry about that.
Come on, no, do not.
I just, it would be a nice.
No.
Sorry.
No.
I have got all kinds of information already, Mike, and I'd be happy to share it with you and your wife. I mean, I've got all kinds of.
Christ.
Now, my
welcome to my nightmare. Honey, for the last time, I have not even been inside the radio station yet.
That's fine.
How about, let me get up there.
You've made Rob nervous. He just dropped an entire tray of cards.
Let me get up there. Let me start doing the job up there before you move us to New York.
I'll just keep all my little thoughts to myself.
Good.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. I was bubbling over with them last night. I usually don't try not to throw all this at you. I know that you don't react well to it, but this has been stewing since you.
I know, but do you understand my position, right? Like we discussed this morning,
right.
You're putting a cart ahead of the horse. You got to let me get up there and start the job first.
I'm throwing too much at you, and you've got a lot. You've got a lot on your plate, and you've got a lot of other stuff to concentrate on. So you just let me handle this, and you handle your thing. And, we'll
and do me a favor, Frieda, if you can. Don't be speaking to my wife for about another 2 months or so.
I'll get it all figured out before I start.
She's like a big Girl Scout troop leader. She is. She's got everybody organized.
We'll be in the same building. We'll all be in the same building.
You know,
we get a special block deal on apartments.
The last time I checked, the hotel was fine with me.
Well, the hotel's fine, yeah.
But you won't like a hotel.
Well, the company's going to pay for the hotel.
Yeah, but see, my idea this morning, which we won't even.
Oh no! Okay, no. This is what put me over the edge. Hold on. Let me announce.
No, let me.
This is what she says. She says, "I want you today." Now she's telling me what to do. She says, "I want you to call Ken, and I want you to ask Ken if he will subsidize us renting an apartment in New York."
Here was my idea.
And I said, I said, honey,
no.
The hotel that the company will put us up in New York, it's called a trade. The hotel runs commercials, and the station doesn't have to pay for the room. I'll be damned if I'm going to call Ken up and say, hey, Ken, listen, my wife would really love to spend a couple of days in New York. How about you go halvesies on the rent on an apartment? He will tell me to go F myself.
No, you see, you didn't even let me. That's why I was up. I shouldn't have sprung it all.
She said she wanted to call Ken, and then I said, don't call Ken. I didn't want my wife calling the general manager. She said, okay, I'll call Jeremy. I said, I don't want my wife.
Not that I'm getting nervous or anything, but we're going up there 2 days a week.
Yes, right?
Just double checking.
No, we don't want to move. I don't want to move.
2 days a week, Mike.
No, I just want to take a summer summer vacation.
You'd like to spend the summer in New York.
You are taking a summer vacation. I am paying for you and your mother to go to Spain.
Okay, well, that's just 1 week. There's like 9 weeks during the summer.
It is just crystallized. I understand exactly what she's doing. She's planning her summer itinerary.
That's right.
You know, that's fine. Have a wonderful summer. Just don't call my boss. Don't call my program director, and let me please just get started there before you start this stuff.
All right. Please. I'll just keep it to my... I've got the wheels in motion, but don't you worry about a thing.
That's where it boiled over today, where she said, I want you to ask Ken if he would subsidize this.
All right,
and
I will drop this, but you're misquoting me. I thought... If he was going to have to pay for a hotel.
Didn't I tell you today it's a trade?
Yes, but you didn't let me finish that there are these companies that do trade similar. And I didn't mean to have the whole thing paid for. I just meant if it's a trade for, say, X amount of dollars, whatever two nights in a hotel would be, to apply it to something else.
No, that's what I want. That's why I want my wife calling the general manager with that question.
I did double-check one thing. The hotel that we have up there for our digs, you know, where Ken stays and where Jeremy stays and where we will be staying, is very, very luxurious. I understand it doesn't even have an alarm clock.
I told her already that it's an S-hole, and I said that when she and Bart want to come up to New York, I would just pay to have a stay at a better hotel when they're there, mm-hmm. and then otherwise I would stay, you know, in the crack house that the radio station's putting
right.
us up in. You know, that's fine with me.
Right.
Honey, let's just take it one step at a time.
All right, my boo-boo. Okay. I'll just work the women's network.
All right, then, whatever that means. Just don't...
That means I chatted with Mrs. Ken, and I can chat with Mrs. O'Mara, and I can...
Oh, God.
You know, whatever.
Oh, no.
Okay. Whatever. All right, I love you.
All right, goodbye.
Hey, how about some love?
No, I do love you.
Thank you.
I love you very much.
I love you, too.
All right.
Just calm down.
I'm sorry.
Calm down. Take a deep breath. Do some of that feng shui. Calm down.
I'm sorry.
Get in a lotus position.
Diggy bear. Okay.
Okay?
Everything's fine.
Too much coming at me today. I know.
You don't handle change well anyway.
Too much. We got to get an apartment in New York. You got to die soon so I get all this money.
No.
Yeah, I got to go to Spain. My mother's got to go to Spain. You got to get a deal on my sister getting her eyes done with a laser surgery.
Sure.
I'm handling everything. Don't you worry about it.
It's just a lot of stuff in one day.
All right, boo-boo.
All right, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. So that's kind of what you were dealing with this morning.
That's exactly what I told you up in the office.
That's interesting.
And all of these things happened one right after the other today.
Oh, boy.
At first it was this argument.
She's a dynamo, that woman of yours.
Not really an argument, this heated discussion about getting an apartment in New York and calling Ken.
Right.
Then it was, listen, my sister and niece need to have their eyes done, need to have this laser surgery.
They want that done in New York?
No. Okay. They want it done here, but they want a discount.
Okay.
So can you handle that? Can you get them a discount? And then it was, yes, and my mother and I would like to go to Spain. And then it was, now the guy's coming over, and he's going to talk about when you die, about how rich we're going to get when you die. And then the freaking Jehovah's Witnesses came over. And it was just,
God.
You know what I mean? Just
I do know what you mean.
Just too much.
A lot of times I don't know what you mean, but I think I do know what you mean.
It's way too much.
Could have been a scene from Scanners.
Just stop it. Yeah, my head's about those. Well, I'm actually now, at this point, I'm looking forward to going to Wichita.
Oh, my.
Okay. Let that tell you how desperate I am. I'm looking forward to spending two nights in the metropolis of Wichita, Kansas.
It's a happening town. Buzz will tell you that. He was raised there.
That's
he
right.
knows it's happening. Wichita right. is happening, and we're coming to Wichita, and I'll tell you, I could not be happier.
Right.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I believe in taking care of myself in a balanced diet and a rigorous exercise routine. In the morning, if my face is a little puffy, I'll put on an ice pack while doing my stomach crunches. Then I apply an Herb Mint facial mask, which I leave on for 10 minutes while I prepare the rest of my routine. I always use an aftershave lotion with little or no alcohol, because alcohol dries your face out and makes you look older. Then moisturizer, then an anti-aging eye balm, followed by a final moisturizing protective lotion.
America's favorite inebriants, Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Hello.
Hello.
You're on the air. Hi.
How you doing?
We're doing great, thank you.
All right. I love you guys.
Thank you. Love you.
I was just calling up for the Black History.
Black History Month today requires no phone calls.
Really?
No phone calls. But I'm glad that you're here celebrating Black History. Say hello to Buzz, who will be participating in today's tribute to Black History Month.
What's going on, Buzz?
Happy Black History Month, my brother.
Now, thank you for the call. Actually, what it is, Buzz, it's a quiz.
Okay, I'll do what I can.
What we're going to do is put 60 seconds on our Say It Loud and Black and Proud clock.
Okay.
As we salute Black History Month.
Yes.
Joe Ardinger, are you ready with the timer?
Yes.
I'm going to offer up some what I consider to be rather stereotypical occupations for blacks.
All right.
And Buzz, I'd like you in 60 seconds to come up with as many as possible. Are you ready? Names.
Names
of... For instance, I'll throw out a profession.
All right.
And you tell me as many blacks as you know in that profession.
Okay, I'll do what I can. And as everyone knows, I'm weak in the area of sports.
Welcome to Black History Month. But again,
no need to qualify, Buzz.
Right. But again, let's celebrate Black History Month. Put 60 seconds on the clock.
Uh-huh.
Buzz, please name every black NBA player you can. Basketball, National Basketball Association.
Current or past?
Yes.
Also, Jason Williams, the first to come to mind, unfortunately, because of the news. Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson. And beyond that, I really don't know.
You got to make it a little more.
Let's give him time.
A little more time,
right.
Buzz.
Yeah, you can give me all the time you want, but I can't really think.
You got MJ,
African American basketball.
You got Jason Williams.
Uh-huh.
You got Michael Jordan.
Right, Magic Johnson.
Oh, yeah, you already had MJ. I said about Michael Jordan. You have Magic.
No, no.
Already had MJ. I said about Michael Jordan. You have Magic Johnson.
No hints, Mike.
I'm not giving him hints.
This is simply.
I'm letting him know who he's named.
Formerly Dennis Rodman.
Okay, that's four.
Right.
Welcome to our continuing tribute to Black History Month.
It's exciting, isn't it?
Buzz.
Take your time, Buzz. You've got four. We need six more.
You're shocked that I don't know any other professional sports?
Well, we'd actually like you to maybe just see if you can get something in the deep recesses.
All right.
Maybe you think about it. You think for,
I'm sorry.
I know you're a hetero. But even the biggest faggot knows Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah, I should have thought of him, of course.
Kobe.
Allen Iverson.
Allen Iverson, right. Dikembe Mutombo.
Now that you give me the name.
Marcus Camby.
Right.
I mean,
Karl Malone.
NBA.
Dominique Wilkins.
Right.
Virtually all black guys. Okay, let's reset the clock.
Wilkins.
Joe, Dominique Wilkins. Joe, is the clock reset?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is.
Okay, Buzz.
Yes.
As we continue our tribute to Black History Month,
get
the music. Where you sat here.
And thank you for your participation in Black History Month.
Oh, thank you for the honor.
Don't worry, we're all going to be doing a different tribute to Black History Month.
Yes, very good. Mine will be most humiliating.
No, I don't think so. I think Lisa's will be.
Okay.
We find out all the black guys she's been to bed with.
Very good. Just the famous ones?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought we were going to get all of them.
About 60 seconds on the big clock.
Yes.
Please name all of the black NFL players you can in 60 seconds. Go.
Ooh, wow. Walter Payton, Refrigerator Perry, William. I just don't know. As everyone knew before we even started this quiz, I don't follow sports.
I guess you followed it back in the Chicago Bears days.
I lived in Chicago in 85 when the Bears were at their hottest, and people who didn't like sports followed them.
You're at my house for the Super Bowl.
You have two. You have two now that you've named. We need eight more.
You're at my house for the Super Bowl.
Uh-huh. Right.
There are lots of black guys on the Rams. You watched the game with me.
No, I really didn't.
There are lots of black guys that...
I was at the party. I didn't watch the game.
Play for the Patriots.
Yeah, I'm sure that's true, but
Lots of famous black quarterbacks.
Didn't watch the game.
Famous Redskins.
How about Redskins? How about famous former Redskins?
Darryl Green.
Darryl Green. What was that?
Darryl Grant.
Darryl Grant.
That counts, yes.
You're making progress. You have four.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's about what we expected, I think.
I think we're supposed to. Darryl Grant,
think Redskins.
I appreciate
it. Oh, I'm sorry, you're all out of time.
I appreciate
you named Walter Payton, Refrigerator Perry, Darryl Green, and Darryl Grant.
Yeah.
Those were the the only four black football players you came up with.
All great. We're going to move
all great players.
Move a little bit more into Buzz's wheelhouse now.
Oh, good.
Okay. Buzz?
Yes.
In 60 seconds, as we continue our tribute to Black History Month, please name your top 10 black actors.
Black actors.
Go.
Go. Number one, Andre Brower, my favorite. Let's see. Yaphet Kotto from Homicide: Life on the Street. Oh, man. I'm trying to bring them to mind quickly. Denzel Washington, of course.
Right.
That's three. Right? Of course it is.
We're looking for seven more.
I'm not sure I can think of 10 white actors in 60 seconds.
Right. I'll give you that quiz in a moment.
All right. I don't know. I mean, actors and actresses are Cicely Tyson.
It's
got to be
an
actor.
Yeah,
right.
You had Andre Brower.
No. He's still on time. I just buzzed him on the Cicely Tyson.
I see. All right. You have three. We're looking for seven more.
Okay.
They can be from, you know, from history.
Any era.
Too.
Aren't many on Friends, are there?
And then you think feature films.
Okay.
Sorry. Right, sorry, you're out of town.
He had who?
He had Andre Brower, Yaphet Kotto, and Denzel Washington.
So he had two out of the three are on the same TV show, right?
They were at one time, yes. Eventually, Andre Brower had his own show.
You know, Morgan Freeman would come to mind.
Right.
About Will Smith.
Will Smith, absolutely.
Sidney Poitier,
the great actor.
Bill Cosby.
I don't work well like this under pressure.
Okay.
Yeah. Wesley Snipes.
I'm really going to toss you a softball choice. Now.
Ron Glass.
Right. Damon Wayans.
The guy from Barney Miller.
Yeah,
you would have been saved with
Bernie Mac.
Oh, the great Bernie Mac.
And incidentally, I watched the Bernie Mac show last night.
It's fracturingly funny.
He had hemorrhoids, and I swear to God, I have never laughed as hard at a show that doesn't have a laugh track as I laughed at the Bernie Mac show last
Very
night.
Good.
All right, Buzz, here you go.
Okay.
Now, this one you should ace. My money is on you this time, Buzz.
Okay, thanks.
Please, Buzz, name your favorite top 10 black musicians. Go.
First of all, first choice, Lenny Kravitz. I liked Rick James before he went insane. You got to mention James Brown, of course. You're talking about my favorites, or you just want?
We have three. We'd be looking for seven more.
You'd be looking, yeah. But my favorites.
Answer. Just come up with 10.
Okay. I'm not good at thinking of names under pressure. It's just not what
kind
I
of the
do.
Idea for the bit was born around that.
Yeah, I understand. It's exciting, isn't it? You heard the expression "Black Man in America"?
Mm-hmm.
Buzz on the Don and Mike show.
Oh, wow!
Yeah.
What the hell does that mean?
Does that mean you feel somehow oppressed?
A little, yes.
Okay.
Under the circumstance.
All right. We're looking for.
You mean you can't come up with 10 black musicians?
Not under pressure. I need some time to think about it. I can't do it in 60 seconds on live radio. No, sorry, it's just not what I do.
You know, you could actually take care of a whole bunch by just mentioning the Jacksons.
There you go.
But could you mention all of them by name? Well,
I could.
Well, Mike, I know you could, and you know I could.
Right.
Marlon,
Tito,
Jackie,
Jermaine,
Michael,
Janet, Latoya.
Right.
Is there one more forgetting?
Kate.
Kate Jackson. No, she was on Charlie's Angels. Well, what can I say? But it's a tribute to all African Americans.
Sure is.
You did very well with that. You did the best with football players, naming four.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And you named three actors. You named three football, basketball players, and three musical artists.
Very, very good.
Say it loud. You're black and proud, Buzz.
Mm-hmm. A total of 13 fine African Americans on Buzz's list out of a.
Possible 40?
A possible 40.
Every day, we're going to find a different way to salute Black History Month on this show. And thank you for
having us
today.
Thank you.
34%.
There you go. It's about like my bowling.
There you go.
Now, sure.
Let me tell you something. You don't bowl as spaz as Johnny does.
I throw in a bonus one for you?
Sure.
A bonus one?
Sure.
This is going to be a real, real tough one. Because I thought those were easy. I thought, like, NBA is a, you know...
If I'd had time to think about it, but...
Well, that was the whole point.
I know.
You don't have time to think about
Rob,
it.
You know, Rob had time to think of his little list, and I had no time to think of mine.
He's defensive, and I can understand why.
I'm embarrassed.
Would you like to turn around on me?
No, I'd be glad
to take... You throw out the challenge... I'll take it now to see how crappy I do.
But you and Mike are very good at the improv.
No, what we can do is take a category for each of us, because we all have areas of where we don't have.
And you know,
I'm real deep in. I'm not real deep in basketball either. I would have had trouble with that.
Would you like to throw one out against? against us? Go ahead.
Now, if I was playing Don, I'd go with a category that I know that I'd be able to get him in.
Right. What's that?
Right. In 60 seconds, name 10 hockey players.
I don't know why. Turn the thing off. I don't know one black hockey player.
Yeah, I win.
Yeah.
That's how easy that
was. I don't know one black hockey player.
Now, he could do it. Now, you try to do it to me because you know if you think the right category.
Well, you know, no, actually, hockey's like the universe. And, well, okay.
All right, for me?
Yeah.
Okay, in 60 seconds?
Besides, well, I'm going to give you two that I know you're going to know right away.
Okay, you can eliminate those to make it harder.
Tiger Woods and Vijay Singh.
Right.
Pro golfers.
Not black pro golfers?
Black pro golfers.
David Duval.
No. Black pro golfers.
Oh, black pro golfers.
Without Tiger Woods or Vijay Singh.
That's not fair. They don't exist.
Lee Elder.
Charlie Sifford. Charlie Sifford Jr.
All the Siffords.
Wait a minute. There's one more. Charlie Sifford Jr. And Jim Dent.
You pick a name out of a phone book. I don't know.
Jim Dent and that.
That might be it.
That might very well be. I'm sure there are more African
American. I didn't even know about
golfers.
The junior.
Buzz, you want one more?
Sure.
Okay. Let me think of an easy one for you. Wait for this thing to re-cue. Oh, okay. This is a real easy one.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'd love to do with you?
What?
I'd love to... you can't mention Tiger Woods or David Duval.
Right.
Give me 10 PGA golfers.
You want me to give you...
Yeah.
It's nothing to do with blacks, though.
I know. Right. I know it doesn't. 10 PGA golfers.
All right. Just so like start the clock.
Go.
Might not be cued.
All right.
Does it be current or can it be former?
they can be former.
Okay.
Hall of Famers.
Because you've always, you know, you said, all right, now go.
Well, I'm waiting for the tick, tick, tick.
Well, come on, Joe.
Gary Player.
Right.
Jack Nicklaus. Arnold Palmer. Lee Trevino. John Daly. I can't have Tiger Woods?
No.
Okay, I got five. Wait, is Sergio Garcia.
Good job.
Is that one? How about this? Davis Love III.
Good job.
How about this one? How about Ben Crenshaw?
Yes, come on.
How about
two more.
God damn it. Jasper Parnovic.
Yes, one more.
Hat. And, for Christ's sake, David Duval. Christ, one more. I need one more golfer. One more.
Six under.
Chichi Rodriguez.
Oh! Hey.
Did it.
Nice.
Very good.
Got it.
Very good.
That is terrific.
Got it.
That is hard to do.
That's very tough.
That is very, very good.
God damn, that's hard.
God damn it, honey.
God damn it, honey.
Damn it, golfing, honey.
My God. But see, it's fun to think of categories where we'd all come up short.
Had plenty of time there. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, can I speak to radio star Buzz Burbank, please?
He's right here.
Hi, yes, I'm here.
Hey, I just want to let you know that you don't have to worry about your lack of knowledge in black history or black music or whatever, because you and your wife make the best on-radio duo that I've ever heard in my entire life.
Stop it.
Oh, that commercial that we're running with Buzz and Marcia.
You guys who just deserve it. Best on-radio duo ever.
Wow. That's very kind.
Thank you, my friend.
All right, you're welcome.
Thank you. See you later.
And it's not that I don't know, you know, black actors or even black athletes. I'm just not good at thinking of a list under pressure.
How about... Can I give him a list?
Is it black or non-black?
It's non-human.
Okay, sure. Buzz?
Yes. In 60 seconds.
Okay.
I
feel good about this.
Give me 10 makes of car.
All right,
current makes of car.
60 seconds on the clock.
Ford, Chrysler, Nissan, Toyota, Hyundai, Honda.
It's not what you meant, is it?
No, not at all.
Those are
not
makes.
Not by a little model.
I thought you said makes.
I'm sorry. All right, forget it.
All right.
I wanted models.
We all want models.
The Dodge Stealth and stuff.
Buzz is the worst at games, but I understood what you were saying.
Not the jumble.
Right.
Technically,
that's right. I'll kick your ass with the jumble.
Technically, by make, you meant manufacturer, and I know Mike was looking for like the Acura Legend.
Right.
Make is the maker, model is the model.
Toyota Celica.
It's difficult under like a time window to come
Chevrolet
up with something.
Chevrolet Capri.
Shut up.
Don't make it anymore. Current models of car.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
I'm so sorry, Rob.
They make it in Saudi Arabia.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, we're doing great.
You want a really great sports game that works anytime is try and come up 10 guys. Of
I love
the
guy. I just want to interrupt you for a second. I love the guys that do have the idea for the game and then are not able to spit it out.
I'll give them a chance.
Okay, I'll spit it out.
All right, spit it out.
Come up with 10 guys in sports with the same first name. You pick any name you want.
You know what that is? That's the name game. We play the name game all the time on the show.
Oh, okay.
All right, thank you, my friend.
Okay, thank you.
Come on, get out of here. That's enough. We're gonna break. Buzz, would you like to apologize to all blacks who are listening right now?
I'd like to apologize to everyone. Everyone on the planet, I'm sorry. I'm just very damn sorry.
Happy, everybody. Happy Black History Month.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
So, how's your ass?
Oh, Miss Colonoscopy Doctor. She's gorgeous. You should have seen her in her white coat. I wanted to give her a little tongue depressor action. Hey, now.
Is he going to go for another appointment?
No, I don't think so. Looking up the ass was a one-time thing.
But I'm thinking of that tomorrow. Hank, how do you ask somebody else who's seen the inside of your ass?
I think she has a thing for me.
How could you tell? Weren't you facing the other way?
Well, granted, I was sedated at the time, but there was a vibe in that room. You know, it usually takes several years to get to that level of intimacy.
The Don and Mike Show. They can't stop hating on people. Don and Mike.
Lisa, you are on the air.
Hello.
Hello?
Hey, it's hard to cut a commercial.
Oh, God, I'm sorry.
All right, I think we have Scotty Crane on the phone right now. And my computer here is a piece of ass.
Mm-hmm.
And, Mike, yours is an equal piece of ass.
Yes, it is.
Buzz, please go to...
Yes.
www.bobcrane.com.
Okay.
And then I have a username and a password for you that I will pass along via Robbie Speedwagon. Robbie, you run that into Buzz. And while we're trying to get on the Bob Crane website, let's welcome now Scotty Crane. Hello, Scotty.
Yeah. Hey, great to be on the show, you guys.
Hi, thank you. You know, we tried to have you on a
bit. You're not going
to
give that password away, right?
No. That's going to our news guy.
Super secret. It will not leave his mind.
Because he has the only computer that works here in the studio. Yeah, maybe. His works.
What kind of cheap studios you guys working on?
Worst computers in the nation.
The worst.
You know what? All radio stations are the same.
So you are Bob Crane's son.
Correct.
And when I tried to pull your site up on both Mike's computer and my computer, I was able to get the top where it said bobcrane.com with a little picture of your dad with a camera, and then it says like XXX, and then a place to click on if you want to join and see the fun pictures.
So are these films or stills?
Both pictures from his personal still collection. And video. Actually, the video we've got up there right now is from 1956.
And this is video of sex acts?
Yeah, of my father, Bob Crane, engaged in sexual activity.
Is it straight sex or gay sex?
Now, see, there's the rumor. There's been this really strong rumor for the last 23 years that he was involved in gay sex. Totally untrue. That's the reason why we're actually doing this site, is to dispel some of these rumors that have been around.
Well, I think the rumor that I remember is that actually his death was the result of a gay sex romp gone bad.
Yeah, I haven't heard that one.
That's what I heard.
There's a lot of them like that. The strongest ones are that the women he photographed and videotaped didn't know they were being videographed or videotaped and photographed, and that it was done without their consent. BS. Totally untrue. You look at our book, The Faces of Bob Crane, or the website, www.bobcrane.com, all these women are smiling, willing participants, and the camera is sometimes only an inch or two away from their face or other body parts.
Buzz, are you having any luck getting to that site yet?
Yeah, I think we're getting through now. Yep, here we are. I can visit the photo gallery. I can visit the video archives.
All right,
either one.
Go to the photo gallery.
All right.
And what we're going to need you to do is probably swing your computer screen around
I can swing it.
So that
you can swing it?
Mike and I can see what's happening.
The lad and how to swing it.
All right, now, Scotty, let me ask you about...
Can you see okay?
Let
me move this down?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay,
here
comes a whole gallery of pictures.
Now,
a little bit.
How have the other members of your family reacted to the website that you have here as a way of proving that your dad was no fag?
Well, it's more than proving that, but my mom, Sigrid Valdez from Hogan's Heroes, his wife, Bob Crane's wife, is very supportive of it. The rumors that have been out there for, as I said, 23 years are very damaging to the image of Bob Crane and also to the family. And, you know, we could come out and we could do interviews and we could write books that say all these rumors are untrue and no one would believe us. And the only way, you know, since the O.J. case, everybody wants DNA, everybody wants hard physical evidence.
Right.
And the only hard physical evidence we have are his photographs and his videotapes.
The only hard physical evidence is between your dad's legs. Do you actually see your dad's genitals in these pictures and movies?
10 inches of screaming pink Jesus.
Oh, my God.
You know, here's another rumor about you and about all these endeavors. It was my understanding that this was, something you were doing to get back at your dad or something. This is not about that at all?
No, it's actually to protect his image. Quite the opposite, actually.
I'm sure he's smiling down from heaven now.
Would he dig it? CNN
was covering the trial for the murder of Bob Crane. They showed some videotape of my dad having sex on the screen, and it was broadcast worldwide. And my mom and I were sitting there watching this broadcast, and she goes, "Oh my God! If your father could look down and see, 19-20 years after his murder, that people are still talking about him, and the images of him having sex is worldwide news. I mean, he's a performer. What else could he want?"
So he dug it. I mean, he was kind of an exhibitionist.
Oh, he was. He showed these photos to everyone. That's the other thing. Is I'm not doing something that he wouldn't have done. The greatest story to illustrate that is right after Hogan's ended, he became Disney's number one contract player, and he was in the film Super Dad. A reporter from the New Times Hollywood calls him up and says, "Hey, I want to do a story on Bob Crane. I want to follow you around for 24 hours, and I want the story to be called A Day in the Life of Bob Crane."
I bet.
Yeah. So my dad goes, "Oh, great, come on over to the house, meet the family." We all sit down, we have lunch. My dad then takes him down to his, basement dark room and shows him all these homemade, this reporter from the paper, all these homemade porno tapes and photographs. And he goes a step further. He goes, "Get your photographer. Let's go to my favorite strip club, the Classic Cat on the Sunset Strip, and I want you to meet this stripper that I love." And they go there. They take all these photographs of my dad with this stripper named Angel Carter, who was topless in these photographs. Of course the story runs in the paper. Of course the pictures run in the paper. And, of course, Disney fires Bob Crane.
Oh.
It was the last thing he wanted to happen. He had no idea that this could possibly jeopardize his career.
Because what, did he think of it as completely normal behavior?
Well, you got to remember, it's the at this time of the story, it was the early 1970s, and the free love and sexual revolution of that time had really taken a stranglehold in places like L.A., especially with celebrities. And what he was doing actually wasn't that bizarre. There were plenty of celebrities doing exactly what he was doing, engaged in swinging lifestyles and group sex. The only difference was he was videotaping it, and he was showing it to everybody.
The last time, hold on, Bowser, are you pulling something up here?
There's Bob Crane. Here's the face of Bob Crane and some of Bob's other parts as well.
Oh, my God. Is that Bob's penis?
Yes, it is.
Scotty, excuse me for a moment. I'm going to have to leave the microphone to go to the window to take a look.
Yeah, I am looking at this picture, Scotty, and that's the... That seems to be the central photograph on BobCrane.com, and a woman is servicing your father. And that is right. Your father is rather significantly endowed. Do you share that endowment, Scotty?
I got his libido. but I smoked so much pot by the time I was 13 that I only got 4.5 inches of screaming big Jesus.
Who would have thought that that Colonel Hogan has such a big wiener?
Yeah, he was a well-built man.
Now, I will tell you that photograph that I just saw, if it is a homemade photograph, I mean, he obviously put a little time into it.
Oh, he was an excellent photographer. He'd been into... That's the other rumor. The rumor is that he didn't start getting into, photographing sex acts and swinging and group sex until he met my mother, which is really damaging to my mother because she didn't even participate in any of it. But the truth is, he met my mother in 1965. We've got a video up there from 1956 of him with a woman, and it's not his wife at the time.
And your mom did
this since the 40s.
Your mom didn't mind about this lifestyle?
And everyone in Hollywood knew exactly what my father was about. And, I mean, he made no bones about it. He this wasn't a secret. And my mom was friends with him for 5 years before they got married. She just, she fell in love with him, and it was I have to accept it because he's going to divorce me if I don't put up with it. He left his first wife because she wouldn't put up with it.
Now, is your mom or is the first wife the one who was Colonel Kling's receptionist?
My mom.
Okay, so your mom is...
So your mom's beautiful.
Oh, my mom's gorgeous.
A POA. Buzz, what is the picture you've pulled up now?
This is part of Bob again, being enjoyed by one of his lady friends.
Hold on, let me walk over and take a look. This is the gift of Bob's wiener now.
Yeah, absolutely. She has black tape over her eyes.
Once again,
see that these cameras are so close to their faces, there's no way they didn't know that it was going on.
Oh, absolutely not. No, I agree.
She couldn't see a thing with that black tape over her.
Now, I would imagine, though, that the women that are in some of these pictures and in some of these videotapes are probably, some of them, a little freaked out. How are you getting around that?
Well, most of them are probably dead, right? I mean, they're...
Well, no, I wouldn't think so. I mean, Bob Crane, if he was alive, would be how old today?
He would be... He actually, last weekend, he turned 73.
73.
Wow. So some of them probably.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, and plus the women that he was with, he died when he was 49. The women that he was with, you know, close to the end of his life, were a lot younger than him.
Huh. So one time we had Colonel Klink on the show. I mean,
he's great. He called me 2 months before he died. He's a great guy.
But answer my question. What about the women that are in some of these videotapes and pictures? Are you getting, lawsuits? Are you getting heat from these women?
No, actually, I haven't heard from any of them.
Wow.
I think what he's saying is most of them consented to having their picture taken.
Well, but what I heard at the beginning was that these women are alleging that these photographs were taken secretly.
Right, which is totally untrue. They were doing that obviously to protect their own image because they knew that these photographs would one day surface.
Look at the picture on BobCrane.com right now. There's no way that that's
he had a good taste.
Yeah, that is not a spontaneous picture. That's a picture of a naked lady
She's
posing,
holding her coat open.
The other thing is the video technology back in those days. No one had it but pro news studios. And my father, through a friendship with the guy who was actually accused of killing him, was able to acquire this, like, really high-end pro video equipment that no one had. And so back then, these cameras were about the size of a commercial microwave oven is today, like one in a kitchen. And there was no viewfinder. So in order to see what you were filming at all, you had to have it plugged into a television monitor in the room with you. So you couldn't hide it.
And now, do we have any video on this BobCrane.com?
Yeah, absolutely.
But where does the Buzz have to go so we can watch a movie?
You go back to kind of like the main gallery page when you first enter the members section, and there's a link for video.
I'm gonna click on Show Me Bob's Videos.
There you go.
All right, now when we've had Colonel Klink on the show about a million times, and the last time we had him on, we brought up the fact that your dad like sex and like having sex, and this was his quote. This was his.
What a horrible thing to say!
What a horrible thing to say!
But then we have another tape of Warner Klemperer, who is really backing up what Scotty says because he kind of answers the question.
I think we use that on the way into the segment.
Yeah, in a matter of fact way that he liked to film sex acts that he enjoyed filming.
Yeah,
that's a very good impersonation of him.
Hi, thank you very much. That's very nice, Scotty.
Wow.
Hi. Yes, I've done.
I should have you on my show.
I've done Werner Klemperer for a long time.
Yes, now you have a radio.
I'm impressed.
Thank you, Scotty.
You have a radio show, right?
Yeah, nationally syndicated radio show. But what's funny is my father shared all his hobbies with me. I mean, I've been seeing these photographs since I was a little kid, since I could crawl. But he also taught me how to play baseball. He taught me how to drum. He was a great drummer. But he also, this is a funny radio story, he taught me how to do the craft of radio, if you can call it a craft. He would set me up with a turntable, a microphone, a four-track recorder, and he'd put on Kiss records, and he'd say, take it to the post, Scotty, take it to the post.
That's neat.
Because your dad was a DEEJAY, right?
He sure was. He was number one in L.A. for 10 years straight. He was called the king of the L.A. airwaves.
All right, well, let me give you a record right now. And do you want to talk a record up for us?
Sure. If I know the song, I'll try and take it to the post.
All right, I'll give you an easy one. Everybody plays this stupid record. This Uncle Cracker, Follow Me.
I don't know it. Let me go for it.
Let me put it on. Let me give you just a taste of it. I'm sure you've heard it. Stations play this every goddamn second. Hold on. Let me turn this one right here.
So you're listening to the Don and Mike show. It's Uncle Cracker, their big new hit, coming right up.
You don't know
how Andrew is.
Something to do over the phone.
Yeah, it's hard over the phone. I'll give you an example. Here you go, right here you go. Everybody, good afternoon on KRAK, a big crack. I took some video right now, Bob Crane. Here's your Uncle Cracker.
You don't know how you met.
No, that was perfect.
Yeah, you want to try it one time?
I see. No, let's move on.
All right. But you got to...
I'm not here to... excuse me.
Oh, dear. Scotty.
Hold on, he dropped the... You're a DJ. You should know better than that.
He dropped the bomb. So
you can hear more of that on my radio show.
Now, what else have I read? Is it your brother that's not happy about this site? Who in the family is not happy about the site?
He's my half-brother. He's the son of my father's first wife. And so his name is Robert David Crane. My name is Robert Scott Crane. My dad's name, Bob Crane, was Robert Edward Crane. Ever since my dad died, this guy's been running around the country publishing articles under the name Bob Crane Jr. And there is no Bob Crane Jr. And he's telling the police and reporters that I'm not Bob Crane's son.
Oh, that's nasty. Well, that's easy to prove, isn't it?
You know, I'd love to take a DNA test with the guy.
That'd be great.
I would love to do that. He's probably too much of a wimp to actually stand up to the plate and do it.
You know, Scotty, I apologize. We have a senior citizen in the next room running our internet here. Buzz,
yeah.
How you doing pulling up the movies there of Bob Crane?
Well, at the age of 47, I'm doing fine, but our computer is having some problems. There's a place where I can click to get a plug-in, and I'm waiting for the plug-in to arrive.
All right, it works best with Internet Explorer and a PC machine, which is a bummer because I'm on Mac. But
what are you using, Buzz Internet Explorer?
No, I've got Netscape up here.
Oh, Netscape. Well, listen, I tell you what, Scotty, we will continue to plug the site, bobcrane.com.
And now, talk about the murder or anything? Because I'm willing to do it.
Yeah, hold on. I'm just giving you a plug here before we get to the good stuff. Someone who wants to go and see the movies of your dad, how much does it cost to watch the nudes?
You know, it's like $7.
All right, that's cheap. Now, you mentioned it, I'm glad you did.
Yeah, the very controversial murder.
Your dad's murder, he had an electrical cord around his neck?
I guess whoever murdered him, first they bludgeoned him to death with one of his very own camera tripods, and then for some unknown reason tied an electrical cord cut from the video camera around his neck, and no one really knows why they did that because it wasn't used to strangle him.
Was it a crime of passion when this happened?
I think it definitely was. I think it was an angry cuckold, a jealous husband, you know, a jealous boyfriend. I don't think it was John Henry Carpenter, the guy that was acquitted for it, and I'm not protecting John Henry Carpenter because he was a real creep. He was a dark guy.
Okay.
He actually was sentenced for crimes that are really, really hideous. So I believe he probably had it in him to kill someone. He had he had what it took to do that. But I don't think he did it, and neither did the jury. And I think the Scottsdale police had interests to protect, and I think that John Henry Carpenter was fingered by the police. We probably have video of that somewhere.
Yeah, I'm sure he was fingered by the police. So how pissed off are you now, all these years later, that this is still, it's like the Robert Blake wife thing, right? It's like nothing's happening.
Right, yeah. It's pretty upsetting, actually. I mean, I hope that all this publicity about the case will help open up the case. But I believe that any evidence that could really point to the real killer has probably been lost or destroyed by now.
So you really don't hold out much hope that anything would resurface?
Oh, I hold out hope, but there's not much of it. Yeah, right.
You ever consider Richard Dawson?
No.
How about Kinch?
No, you know what I think? I think it was, here's what I think. I think you're a big celebrity, and you like porno, and you like strip clubs, and you go into a really small town like Scottsdale, and you head straight for the strip club.
Oh, hold on. For a minute, I thought you were talking about me. I thought you said you're a really big celebrity. You like porno.
No, he's talking about his dad.
Your dad. Okay, your dad, right. Okay.
No, I was talking about you. No.
All right, so your dad's a big celebrity. He likes porno. He likes strip clubs.
And it's the early 1970s, and who ran the adult business in the 1970s? I mean,
the mob.
Yeah, it was organized crime. And you go into these strip clubs, and you're a big celebrity, and all of a sudden you're meeting the manager or the owner, and they're inviting you to their house or their parties, and you're meeting their wives and their girlfriends and their daughters, and you're Bob Crane, and you have no scruples. You sleep with anything, whether they're married or not. You know, any woman is fair game. And so it's be really easy to piss off somebody who's capable of murder.
Now, how do you feel about...
The other thing is, it could easily be a cop's wife, and who else are the cops going to protect more than their own brethren?
And how do you feel about, I mean, you know, your dad and the lifestyle now? I mean, do you share the same lifestyle that your dad had?
No, I've got his libido, like I said, but I'm definitely monogamous. You know, there was a real moral lesson put on to me that, like, sex is fine, but, you know, don't sleep around or you'll get brained for it.
Oh, all right.
I guess so.
Maybe you've learned that.
Yeah, you got a lesson there.
From your dad. All right. I'm surprised you didn't know that. So,
well, it's sex. 7. I didn't know that.
Right. So BobCrane.com, that's the site. Now, Buzz is on the... What service are you on now, Buzz?
I've gone to Internet Explorer, and I'm just into the video section again. I think I'm about ready to hit play.
All right, hold on. Let's see if we can actually get the movie on while we have Scotty online here.
Unless, of course, we need a plug-in.
And, Buzz, what are the...
You just need a... what is it? The Windows player.
Yeah, I think Windows player is built in. And Buzz, how many choices for movies you got there?
Just on this first page alone, it looks like there's about six.
Six movies. Goddamn. Your dad loved making movies of himself, didn't he?
Yeah, well, he was a performer throughout, whether it was on radio, behind the drum kit, you know, in the bedroom. He was performing. I mean, in a lot of these videos, it's bizarre. You'll notice that he is watching that TV monitor that's in the room with him and the chick more than he's watching the chick that's actually in his lap.
Now, does he ever have sex with a Hogan hat on?
No, I've never seen that.
But he certainly used his fame to his advantage. I mean, he's a good-looking guy, had a TV show, and he had fun with it, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, when you're a big star, these things come pretty easy for you.
Your mom must be a relatively understanding woman.
Yeah, she really was. I've never met another woman like her, that's for sure. The interesting thing that the cops said when he was killed, well, first thing they said was, your dad's dead. And the second thing...
Oh, God, okay.
The second thing was, this was not a mob hit. We know that the Scottsdale police are rumored to be run by organized crime, and that Scottsdale is rumored to be overrun with mob figures. And it is. You watch any mob film, where do they go when they retire from Chicago, New York? They go
sure.
to the desert.
Arizona.
Yeah. And they don't even deny that. They acknowledge that the rumors exist, and then they say, but we know for certain this isn't a mob hit. And then a story breaks in the paper a few weeks later after he was murdered that there was a well-known mob informant actually serving time in Arkansas who called the Scottsdale police and said, I know who killed Bob Crane, and it was a mob hit. So they extradite him from Arkansas to Arizona. They put him in a holding tank where in the morning he's going to give his statement about who killed Bob Crane. And he, for some reason, hung himself in his holding cell that night.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
boy.
That's pretty suspicious.
Yeah, really.
Call John Walsh for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're up on a break. Scotty, thank you for your time. Eventually, we'll be able to pull these movies up with the password you gave us, right? This is not like a one-hour password you gave us, right?
It'll expire tonight, yes. But,
tonight.
You got all day.
He's a smart kid.
Tonight. All right. Well, Scotty Crane, thank you. We're big fans of your dad. And the site is BobCrane.com.
You got it.
And thank you for your time, Scotty.
Hey, thank you very much. You guys take care.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
It's pretty interesting stuff.
Yeah. It's pretty open about it, man.
Yeah, I mean, I am so completely surprised at that. I thought this guy was going to come in, you know, he didn't like his dad, wanted everybody to see what... You know, he's just matter of fact. That was his lifestyle.
Buzz, how's it going? I see something happening on your screen now.
Oh, we're watching the lovely Windows Media logo animate itself right now.
Okay, well, all right. I guess we'll go to another computer and see if we can pull up the movie.
The computers in this radio station do suck.
You know, I know we're busted on Buzz a lot, but it's not Buzz.
It's not Buzz's fault.
It's the freaking computer. I've seen Buzz go to three different services.
Yeah, I mean, Buzz can't get it up on the computer.
Hey.
I mean, on the computer.
Can't type in the name and the password we were given, but eventually, before that password becomes invalid, we will get a movie of Bob Crane boning some chick.
Because, you know, with everything else, it being Bob Crane, the quality might surprise you.
And he did have an enormous schwanz.
Oh, he did indeed.
I mean, I'm no fag, but I'm telling you, that's like a horse.
It was magnificent.
Two pieces of good news. One, I think I figured out what tomorrow's password will be based on today's. And the other thing is, it's come up here. It looks like we have...
Oh, hold on!
We have a small, sepia-toned video.
All right, hold on. I'm over here.
Is that what I think I see?
What is it?
It looks like two naked people on the bed with, of course, the websites. There it goes.
Oh, now.
It's old black and white film. And
it looks like an old-time movie.
You really can't see anything. The lighting is bad, and the name of the website is plastered over the page. And it's that old-timey black and white home movie film that people used to use.
But it is. We are watching a movie.
I guess.
Of Bob Crane having sex.
Such as it is.
Isn't that an ass that I see going up and down in the air?
Who can tell at this point?
No, right in the middle, Buzz. What's the thing right in the middle of the screen there? See the fleshy thing?
This thing here?
No.
This thing over here.
What's that?
I think that's the mattress. I think this is a shadow on the mattress. And this is a person
standing. I see nothing happening.
Mm-hmm.
I see nothing.
Well, that looks like an ass to me, but maybe you guys are right. Maybe that's the mattress.
Yeah. Well, you know, mattresses, asses.
Okay.
It's porn. You know, Bob Crane, what an American.
He keeps giving.
Either way, we got in there.
And, you know, Scotty's mom, I remember her on that show. I mean,
a nice German POA.
Oh, absolutely.
Remember that? Colonel Klink, phone for you.
You'd just be staring at her and then big laughs in the colonel's office.
We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
We all have such an insatiable appetite to find out more about Elvis, Marilyn Monroe, and JFK. I think it's because each died a mysterious and untimely death. My first guest believes, however, that Elvis is not dead, that he faked his death, that he claims he can prove it. He was a major in the U.S. Air Force with Clark Gable. He produced hit records such as Hey, Hey, Paula and Hey, Baby, and he's the author of Memphis Mystery. Please welcome Major Bill Smith. Nice to have you on.
The Don and Mike Show. They love the Arbotron. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Now, how about them apples?
Oh, yeah, low budget Jeopardy.
Time for Don and Mike to play low budget Jeopardy.
Hold on, before we open the door, I have a taped intro
for today's guest.
Okay. Roll that, and then we'll hit the door then. Here we go.
My first guest believes, however, that Elvis is not dead, that he faked his death. He claims he can prove it. He was a major in the U.S. Air Force with Clark Gable, who produced hit records such as Hey, Hey, Paula and Hey, Baby.
I know who it is now.
Author of Memphis Mystery. Welcome, Major Bill Smith.
Oh. Hello.
Hey, Major Bill.
Hello.
Well, hello.
How you, Don?
Hey, Major Bill Smith, now you're still dead, correct?
Yeah, stay on the stick, baby. Yeah, I'm still dead, but I just thought I'd come by and see you and all the Don and Juan and all the gang, the cotton picking. Mage is up to his eyeballs and alligators and hi. Well, hello.
Major Bill Smith.
Wow, yeah.
Great to see you. How long have you been dead, Major Bill?
Hi, Buzz. Hi. Oh, I don't know, Don. You know, people can say how long I've been dead. I've been cotton picking 4 years,
hey,
Don.
Sound great, Mage.
Yeah, well, it goes, it comes, and it goes. Sometimes I feel good. And,
how do you feel now?
Other times, I'm feeling pretty perky.
You feel pretty perky?
I do. I feel good. I'm ready for... You got to come on down and have a meal, man.
Oh.
I got Spam and lima, baby limas, and all sorts of good food, Don.
Who's the latest person up in heaven that you've greeted? Because you're like the doorman for heaven, right?
Yeah, we've had some new arrivals up in cotton picking heaven. I have a job, Don.
What's your job,
where I'm responsible, the old cotton picking mage greets people when they get up to heaven. And I had a great conversation with Congressman Sonny Bono.
Oh, Salvatore.
He was, I would have loved to produce his record, I Got You, Babe. I did Hey, Baby. And I said to Congressman Sonny Bono, I said, you know the old mage, if I could produce Hey, Baby, I could produce I Got You, Babe.
And what about Michael?
He got a big laugh.
Michael Kennedy. Did you see him?
No, Don. I'm not a, the old mage isn't a Kennedy guy.
But he's dead.
Yeah, well, it's still, you know, there's some people in conflict in heaven that...
Uh-oh, what's wrong, Mage?
I'm very, very sick.
Oh, no.
So quickly. Hello, Don.
Wow.
Oh,
hey, Mage.
I'm just...
I thought when you got to heaven, you felt great.
I'm just not feeling too perky right now. The old Mage...
Taking a turn.
The old Mage is taking a little turn for the worse.
Oh, no.
But I'll step on it, Don. What can I do for you?
Major Bill, did you greet Dr. Spock at the door to heaven when he recently died?
No.
No?
I would have, Don, but I was in bed. I didn't want to talk to any
hot picket doctors. I'm starting to feel better. Let me get this to
you. Did Sonny Bono have like a tree through his head or anything when he came up
there? No, Dodd. We all revert back to our cod picket form.
Feeling better.
Right before we die, that's the way we look. We don't have any cod picket trees. And it was a 52-pound wax dummy. He commissioned it with Oklahoma City, and that's what's buried in Cotton Pick and Graceland. You remember the Mage told you that.
What do you have to eat up in heaven, Mage?
Well, we got orange ruffy and German potato salad and lots of good food. All the Mage's kind of food. I'm feeling much better, Don. I apologize for, occasionally I have my spells.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Yeah, go ahead, Dodd.
How are your fingernails, Major Bill?
My nails grow. Yeah. All the women are jealous of my fingernails. I don't know, Dodd. I just don't know, Dodd.
You know, Major, it sounds to me, if I'm not mistaken, like you're simply using all of your famous catchphrases from our show.
That sounds scrumptious. That does. I dropped an awful lot of bombs on them. I don't mind telling you.
I'm going to have a hard time keeping up here with you.
I don't know. I dropped an awful lot of bombs on him.
There is no sharper dude on the face of the earth than Major Bill Smith.
All right, hold on, think again.
There ain't no sharper dude on the face of God's earth than Major Bill Smith.
Let me rewrite that, yeah. Now, you saw a picture of me and Zsa Zsa. The first thing you want to know is if I'm getting it on with Zsa Zsa. I'm not that kind of person, Doc. You know,
although we're still looking.
Yeah, well,
we're still looking. Hold on.
Stay on the stick.
Here we go. Oh.
Yeah, stay on the stick, baby. I wonder who didn't recue that.
Probably Rob Spiewak.
Oh, I think it was Cotton Pickett Mike O'Mara who got into the tapes.
Oh,
places he's not supposed to be.
Oh.
And that was messing with his greasy fingers on all those tapes.
Stay on the stick, baby. Stay on the stick.
Yeah, baby. Stay on the stick. Oh, boy. Major Bill.
Oh, he's fading again.
Oh, no.
Oh, look, he turns all blue and stuff. Look at that.
Purplish like Elvis.
Oh, no, I'm just...
How you feeling?
I'm going to lie down.
Oh, Mage.
Oh, we can't.
Don't lay down, Major Bill Smith. Don't lie down.
If he gets down, he'll never get up.
I'm just going to sit down here. Nah.
Mage.
I'm not feeling the old Mage.
You're not feeling what?
Not feeling too perky.
Well, I'm not feeling too perky, but
that's all right. Huh? What do you want to talk about, Doc?
Are you very sick?
I'm very, very sick.
I'm very, very sick.
You know, the old Mage is very, very sick, and I'm very, very sick. I'm just not feeling. Don?
Yes, Major Bill.
The lights are starting to get very dim.
Hey, Mage?
Yeah, Don.
Do you know what's going on?
I don't know, Don.
I don't know, Don.
I don't know, Don. I tell you, man,
what?
You ought to come down here for a meal. I got spam and baby llamas and German potato salad.
He's up again.
Yeah, baby. Oh, the old Mage is feeling much perkier right now. Hi, I'm back.
Hey, man, you guys should come down and have a meal, man. I had spam and I had baby llamas and I had German potato salad.
Yeah, baby. That's good food. The old Mage knows how to cook.
Are you Major Bill?
My name is Major. This is Major Bill Smith.
The hell you aren't.
The hell you aren't.
The hell you aren't.
Hey, yeah. Yeah, I remember the bomb, the Memphis riot.
I'm Major Bill Smith.
I'm Major Bill Smith. I dropped an awful lot of bombs on him.
I don't know. I dropped an awful lot of bombs on him.
That sounds scrumptious. That sounds scrumptious, man.
You're not even giving us a fighting chance
over
here.
That sounds scrumptious.
Yeah, well, how about them apples?
Oh, wait. We got it here.
Stay on the stick, baby.
You know, this is like playing a game of concentration now. It's like, where did you put the tape? Here we go.
How about them apples?
No.
There is no sharper dude on the face of God's earth than Major Bill Smith.
There ain't no sharper dude on the face of God's earth than Major Bill Smith.
The hell you are!
Hold on.
The hell you are not!
Yeah.
Hello.
Man.
Uh-oh. Hello?
Oh, he's not syncing.
Hello?
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 Hello? Hello?
I'm just not feeling too perky.
Well, I'm just not feeling too perky, but
I'm very, very sick.
I'm very, very sick.
Started to spiral down.
I don't have a tape that says we're starting to spiral downward.
Well, that was
hell is paved with good intentions. You know that?
Yeah, the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Hey, pick her up. Hi, sweetheart.
I'd like to. Hi, sweetheart.
Hi, sweetheart.
Hi, sweetheart.
Wait, that was something weird. It was like space age.
Hi, sweetheart.
Oh, you, it's because you said it with a tape.
Sounds like a harmonizer.
Hi, sweetheart.
All right, let's try this one. Try, I beg your pardon, okay?
I beg your pardon.
Okay, let's try, hi, sweetheart.
Hi, sweetheart.
Okay, now, I beg your pardon.
I beg your pardon.
Okay, now, I'm very, very sick.
I'm very, very sick.
Spooky. Okay, I beg your pardon.
I beg your pardon.
Hi, sweetheart.
Hi, sweetheart.
I'm very, very sick.
I'm very, very sick.
Okay, I don't know, Don.
I don't know, Don.
Okay, now, in a different order, okay?
Sure.
Hi, sweetheart.
Hi, sweetheart.
I'm very, very sick.
I'm very, very sick.
Well, hello.
Well, hello.
Oh, you got it.
Oh.
I don't know, Don.
I don't know, Don.
Hi, sweetheart.
Hi, sweetheart.
I beg your pardon.
I beg your pardon.
You there? How you are?
Oh, I don't even know where it
is. Well, that does sound scrumptious, Don. Okay.
Major Bill, listen.
Yes, Don.
I'm going to put the tapes away.
I don't know, Don.
Can you stay to do low budget jet party with us today?
You know, I'll tell you right now, the cotton pick of Major Bill Smith will stay as long as the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Major Bill, that sounds scrumptious.
That sounds scrumptious.
That sounds scrumptious.
That's cotton pick of B.
I don't know, Don.
I don't know, Don.
Oh, very, very sick.
Oh, he's sick again. Hold on. How are you feeling?
Well, not feeling too perky.
I'm just not feeling too perky, but
how are you feeling?
I'm very, very, very sick.
We'll take the first two calls right now at 1-800-636-1067 to play low-budget Jeopardy.
Cod picking right, Mike Swartz.
Okay, we'll be right back, Mage.
Okay, Don.
Major Bill.
Yeah, this is the perky top of the show.
This is where we need you to be energized, Major Bill.
All right, let me have a sip of water, Don.
And while you're drinking your water, let me give a plug here. Leslie Visser from ESPN. She'll be joining us in the next hour of the show.
I heard her nails grow. All the ladies are jealous. Cod picking Leslie Visser and her giant fingernails, Don.
Major Bill.
Yes, you want me to read?
Let's meet our contestant.
Well, hello. This is low-budget Jeopardy. Now, entering the studio is the owner of a cotton picking golf shop from Sacramento. Let's say hi to Mike Barquette. Hello, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Fine. And now, entering the studio is our champion.
Oh, wow.
Her two-day winning total is $102. She's a claims adjuster from Fredericksburg, Virginia. Let's say hi to Cotton Picky Melody Woods.
Cotton Picky Melody Woods, being our returning low-budget Jeopardy champion. How has it changed your life?
Well, I'll tell you, LQ. Ever since I was low-budget Jeopardy champion, my mother is no longer disappointed about me not going to Harvard.
Oh, well, how about them apples? and now entering the studio is the host of Low Budget Jeopardy now.
Cotton Pickett.
Cotton Pickett, Mike, and Melody. Don't screw with LQ and say hi to Alex Trebek Geronimo.
Thank you, Major Bill.
Your Royal Majesty. We, your children, salute you. We from your loins.
All right, kids, Melody and Mike, don't forget, answer the form of a question. Here's your categories. Categories are... This was your original music, wasn't it, Major Bill?
I used this original music, Don, for some spoken pieces that I did right after Hey Baby and Hey Paul.
Here are your categories, kids, they are...
Kelly and I.
movies about the president.
Well, hello.
Guess... The celebrity shoe size.
Stay on the stick, baby.
Spelling bee.
I have supported Elvis for the last 5 years.
How many?
He was into numerology.
And states and capitals.
August 16th, 1977 to 2001.
Okay, here's your categories again.
He wrote a cotton-picking personal letter in 1993.
Go ahead, Don.
Movies about the president.
The president, yeah.
Guess the celebrity shoe size.
Major Bill Smith.
Spelling Bee.
I bombed him.
How many?
Yo.
And states and capitals.
Okay.
And Melanie, even though you're the champion, you are a girl. We do like girls better than boys. We will start with you.
Good luck, Melanie, darling.
Why, thank you, Major Bill.
You're welcome.
I would like to have Spelling Bee for one.
All right. Don't forget, now, the form of a question. The word sizzle.
What is S-I-Z-Z-L-E?
Mm-hmm.
$1 Melanie, and if you want a record that can sizzle, or a book that can sizzle, I recommend Memphis Mystery. Select again, Melanie.
Spelling for two.
Spelling for two. Hey, you know who's on the phone for you?
Who?
Johnny Hara.
Oh, Johnny Hara is the cotton picking finest Elvis Presley impersonator on the face of God's green earth, Don.
Okay, for two. Spelling Bee for two. Interactive.
What is I-N-T-E-R-A-C-T-I-V-E?
Yes. Interactive Maze.
Way, way to go, cotton picking, Melody.
Why, thank you, cotton picking Major Bell.
All right, man. Select again.
I would like Spelling Bee for three.
Cowabunga.
What is C-O-W-A-B-U-N-G-A?
Well, you know your cowabungas, yes.
Oh, $3. Melody, you've run the category, darling, so select again, please.
Okay, states and capitals for one.
Mike, was that you I heard?
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes.
Hello?
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 Yeah, Mike, pipe down unless it's your turn, okay?
Stay on the stick, baby.
Okay, when,
Mike, I hope the truth will come out on this fine stage, on this fine program.
Which one do you want, Melanie?
States and capitals, please.
States and capitals. Hey, Mike, what'd you say?
Mike, I heard
you.
Mike!
Hello?
Yeah, pipe down there, Mike.
Oh, you betcha.
Okay.
You betcha, y'all.
States and capitals. It's the capital of the great state of New Mexico.
What is Santa Fe?
Santa Fe. Oh,
Santa Fe, baby.
She's a brainiac, isn't she?
She's good. Melody. Hey, Melody.
Hey, go again, Melody.
I would like states and capitals for two, please.
It is the capital of the not-so-great state of New Jersey.
What is Trenton?
Trenton.
Oh, that sounds scrumptious. Go ahead, Melody.
States and capitals for three.
It is the capital of the great state of Minnesota.
What is St. Paul?
St. Paul. She did it to you again, Mike.
Way to go, baby. You're hanging in there, Melody. You select again, bro.
Let me just check in. Hold on. Let me check in here with Mike. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, Don?
Hey, buddy.
Mike's over there with a cop picket goose egg. He doesn't have any points, but...
Not even getting in.
I dropped an awful lot of bombs on him.
If only Mike would know. The Melody would never let him in.
If only I could have seen what was happening to me, I might have done something about it.
That's not Elvis Presley. That's Johnny Hara, a fine impersonator of a...
Oh, he's not feeling good again.
Oh, I'm very, very sick, Don.
Okay, Melody, go again, please.
I guess I'll take movies about the president for one, please.
All right. Major, still with us?
I'm very, very sick.
Stars John Travolta.
What is primary color?
Yeah, of course.
$1, Melody. Select again, please.
You okay there, Major?
I'm not feeling too perky.
Okay, go again, Melody. Here we go.
Movies about the president for two.
For two. Stars Clint Eastwood.
What is In the Line of Fire?
Yes, right. Secret Service agent.
$2 for Melody.
Okay, let's finish up the category for three.
Stars Kevin Kline. Got you.
Yes, you did.
Mike, here you go.
Mike, it's your chance to steal. Come on, Mike.
Stars Kevin Kline.
No,
the movie Dave.
Oh, that's right, with Sigourney Weaver.
And Melody, you're in control.
Let's try. How many for one?
How many?
Okay, Melody, how many teams are there in the National Football League?
What is 20?
20. No, see, she's such a girl. Mike, you can get it.
Come on, Mike.
What is 30?
38. All right. Mike's in the game.
$2 for Mike. Go again, Mike.
I'll take how many for two?
How many days are there, Mike, in March?
31. What is 38?
Not in the form of a question.
Mike, you got to pay attention to the cotton picking game. Melody, your chance to steal.
What is 31?
31, yes, right.
$3 for Melody.
$2 for Melody.
Yes, what? Two. $2 for cotton picking. How many dollars does Mike have?
two.
All right, then, Melody, you're in control.
One.
Sweetheart.
No, he has one.
What? $1 for a non-ticket bike. Well, I'm very, very sick.
I know you are.
I hate too much spam. Go ahead, Melody.
Let's go ahead and finish out. How many for three?
How many Academy, the number of Academy Award nominations that Titanic received?
What is 14?
14, yes. All right, then. $3 for you, Melody.
All right, let's celebrity shoe size for one, please.
Last category now. Yes.
Todd Picky category.
Guess the celebrity shoe size. Burt Reynolds.
What is 11 and a half?
Burt Reynolds, no.
Mike, it's your chance to steal.
What is 10?
10. Give it to him, size 10.
Way to go. $1 for you, Mike.
All right, celebrity shoe size for three, please.
Garth Brooks.
$2 for you, Mike.
What is?
Yeah, we got one there, Mage. So
$1 for Mike. Okay, well, how many dollars does he have?
I think he has one.
$1.
He has two.
No, he has two. Right, yeah, you got
right.
Two questions.
$2.
Right.
Now you select for two, Mike.
You're supposed to keep track here, Mage.
I'm sorry. I'm very, very sick.
Garth Brooks, what is 9 and a half?
No.
Melody, your chance to steal.
What is 11?
Oh, you're pretty close. 11 and a half.
Mike, you're in control of the board.
Oh, what are the...
There's one left, Mike. There's one left.
I'm sorry, Mike. I confused you.
Guess the celebrity shoe size for three. This is the last one on the board. So what would you like?
That's it. The last one on the board.
Okay. Marilyn Manson.
It's funny, dog.
Marilyn Manson.
I don't know.
7 and a half.
No, not in the form of a question.
Todd Pickett, Mike, you're supposed to do it in the form of a question. Melody, that's your chance to steal.
What is 10 and a half?
No. The beautiful Marilyn Manson, 9 and a half.
No, Todd Pickett, no.
And Mage?
That's the end of the first Todd Pickett round.
What's the score here, Major Bill?
Mike finishes with $2, Todd. And Melody, your Royal Majesty Melody, finishes with $20. That sounds scrumptious.
All right, guys. We will physically force you both to bet it all on the last edition here. Low Budget Jeopardy, let me put you on hold. And Major Bill?
Yes, Todd. You saw a picture of me at Zsa Zsa. First thing you want to know if I'm getting it on with Zsa Zsa. I'm not that kind of person, Don. Your Royal Majesty, we who come from your loins salute you in the present, past, and future United States of America.
We will be right back. Did you see that, Major Bill?
I saw everything, sweetheart.
My headphones just busted.
You know why I saw that?
All the screws popped out of my headphones.
That kind of disintegrated. Is your head okay, Don?
Yeah, but look at this. Hey, Major Bill, want a screw?
Oh, here. No, I don't.
There's one for you right there.
Thank you, Don. I'll take that.
Rob, let's just trash those and let's get a new pair.
Todd Pickett equipment isn't made the way it was. You know, when I flew your bombers over Germany, they built those things. They could withstand all the artillery. And you tell Todd Pickett, Mike's source, that I'm angry that he didn't think I was a patriot.
Boy, your headphones suck, Rob A.
Those are on Rob A's head.
Yeah.
You're going to get a yeast infection in your ear.
Okay. Thank you, Major Bill.
We have final low-budget Jeopardy now with Mike and Melody. Hey, kids.
Hey, guys.
I bet your cotton picket ears start getting all red and angry.
They itch.
Yeah, they itch a lot.
Okay, guys, here's your final low-budget Jeopardy category, and it is 19 years ago today.
I was around then.
On this day, in 1979, this disco singer had the number one song, I Will Survive. Okay? On this day in 1979, this disco singer had the number one song, I Will Survive. Kids, in the form of a question, please, and good luck.
All contestants on Low Budget Jeopardy will receive the new Major Bill Smith book, and it's a sequel to Memphis Mystery. It's called My Turn. Major Bill Smith speaks from beyond the grave. You know, people say, Major Bill, does it bother you that people laugh at you?
Major Bill, does it bother you that people laugh at you?
People call you a kook.
People call you a kook.
And a nut.
And a nut.
Some of my own family has said that.
Some of your own family has said that.
It doesn't bother me a bit, Don. The only two people who believe my Lord and your Lord are the Roman Centurion and the Hooker. So what else is new? And now back to final... Low Budget Jeopardy.
What?
Your Majesty.
Oh, that's a spiel you used to give us all the time, Buzz.
Thank you.
You never understood it either.
Low Budget Jeopardy. Okay, it's Mike we'll talk to first. Mike, on this day in 1979, this disco singer had the number one song, I Will Survive.
I'm going to say, who is Donna Summers?
Donna Summers. Well, keep in mind, that's not even the answer that you gave the guy in the other room.
My mind.
Well, that's not part of the rules.
No, that's cheating, Mike. And if you're cheating, you're going to go to hell.
So that means he's double wrong, because the answer that he gave Cannon was Diana Ross, and that's wrong.
That's
and then
right.
You just guessed Donna Summers, although the name is Summer, not Summers.
Summer. Yeah, I don't know.
But that also is incorrect.
Oh, I'll tell you, that sounds scrumptious. I dropped an awful lot of bombs on him.
Hey, Melanie.
Yeah?
Melanie, you can win if you have the right answer.
Gloria Gaynor.
Gloria Gaynor, yeah. That means Cotton Picket Melody. You are our low budget champion, Don.
Well, that sounds scrumptious.
Hey, that sounds scrumptious. Now, Melanie, you get to keep the money you won today, and you get to come back again. Mike, oh, Mike, starting with such sweet sorrow. And do I do? Don't go away, Matt. Just go away. Here's Major Bill and his talons to tell you about your prize. Mage.
First of all,
Oh, no.
Melody?
Yes?
Melody?
Yes?
You've doubled your score to $40. We throw in Sweetheart, $25 for a total of $65 added to your previous day's winning. Your total is $167. How do you like them apples?
Well, that's fabulous.
And, Mike?
Hello.
All right, Mike. You got some prizes here. You have won from the Cotton Picket Mage a Nothing to Lose and Buddy Talks prize pack. That is courtesy of your local cable, of your local area cable system.
How you feeling, Mage?
Well, not feeling too perky, Doc. Charlie Sheen.
Well, I'm not feeling too perky, but...
Charlie Sheen, Paul Sorvino, and Heather Locklear, star in Buddy Talks, and Tim Robbins, and Martin Lawrence, star in Duffy to Lose.
I'm very, very sick.
Two great comedies this month on pay-per-view. Thank you, Mike.
Very nice. Well done, Major Smith.
Thank you very much, son. I love it when you call me Major Smith instead of just Cotton Picket Smith.
Mike, have a great weekend in Sacramento. Melanie, you'll be
Thank
back
you.
Next time we play the game.
Thank you.
So long, kids.
Hold on, kids. Well, Major, I guess it's time to climb back into your hole and to pour dirt all over you.
Well, hey, man, you ought to come up and have a meal, man.
What are you having tonight?
I got spam and the baby limas, and I had German potato salad and squash tomato.
Guys should come down and have a meal, man. I had spam, and I had baby limas, and I had German potato salad.
All right, Major Bill.
Hey, yeah.
Don't forget the Low Budget Jeopardy is a production of?
Of Corod Incorporated.
Oh, no.
And it's distributed by Cake World.
Well, I'll see you next time around, partner.
I'm going to get out of here because I'm very sick. Vishal.
Goodbye, Major Bill. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Rob, this is Lee and Gene. Would you and your two buddies from the Crybaby Hall of Fame please destroy my phone number? I'm kind of serious about this, you know? I can take it, but I can also dish it out. Like, if I hear from you guys again, I'm liable to go to the president of WTFK and file a complaint against you. You don't want that for a Christmas present, right? Have a nice day, Turkey.
The Don and Mike Show. They use the hair for protection. Don and Mike.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yes, Don and Mike Show. Hello there.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, buddy. Hey, buddy.
I found out if I call Jim Garner's number, then I can get through so much easier. Have you got some kind of hookup deal with James Garner?
You mean one of those fancy phone numbers that he gives on TV?
Yeah, 10-10-9000. I try to get through somebody at the time, and I can't get through, but if I call James Garner's number, he goes right through.
Does it get bombed?
Sounds like it. Have you had anything to drink today, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, wonderful. How much have you had to drink today?
I'm trying to flush a kidney stone, about 8 beers.
About 8 beers. Why don't you just go see a doctor?
Okay, bud, I did that this morning.
You know, those beers might be the reason you get that kidney stone in the first place. Rob, no, it's true, Rob.
No,
I know. Ignore your doctors.
And that's not the secret sound, incidentally, is a guy's kidney stone.
The secret sound is a flush.
Pardon me?
The secret sound is a flush for me.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thanks so much for your participation.
Bye-bye. Thanks to James Garner, he was able to call the show.
That's right. He pays attention to his television as he's sitting there in the middle of the day getting drunk.
Those would be the ads that I now officially hate the most.
Right.
The ads for the come on to the one blah, 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 blah for long distance.
Sure.
And I saw the most annoying one ever last night with the guy from Third Rock from the Sun, French Stewart.
Oh, God, I hate
Have you seen the one with him going in front of a lemonade stand where kids are selling lemonade for 99 cents?
Talk about your one-trick pony. I mean, a guy that is just doing the same thing. The funniest one I've seen recently is for some of the E-Trade ads are very, very funny.
Yes.
Including the one with the guy down by the pool, a guy that's a gigolo, and he's this good-looking guy.
Oh, when he says, when the woman says, rub my feet
between the toes. Jesus, that is great. That is really serious. And they don't go too far with the old lady, you know what I mean? They make her just ugly enough to make it almost realistic, and it's just, oh, man, that is fantastic.
She's plenty ugly for my money.
She's plenty ugly, but, you know, they just don't have the stereotypical.
And those feet.
Oh, yeah.
Those are some ugly feet.
Between
the toes, please. You see the look on his face, you know?
Tired of your job.
And furthermore, about the phone ads, I wish Dennis Miller wouldn't do those ads.
Yep, that damages his credibility.
I know Dennis Miller needs money, although why at this point he needs money, I don't know. The guy's written about 100 books. All of Dennis Miller's books are virtually the same thing over and over again.
Right.
And he's got a TV show.
How much do you think they pay him decent money for that the Dennis Miller Live show? I mean,
on
they
HBO?
Got to be paid. But you
got to be making, what? Millions of dollars.
You know, what is the rule that the only people you find out about what they're getting paid are the people that are movie stars? When they're getting $20 million, you see that. But a guy like that, I'd love to know how much he's making.
You know how much some TV stars make? Like, you know how much ER makes?
Per episode, they make an incredible amount.
Friends makes per episode.
But, you know, that is in the realm of the commercial television. So you have to wonder about HBO and whether, you know, a lot of people that make these movies on HBO, the big stars, do so because they like the project. They don't do it necessarily for, you know, for the amount of money, because they don't get the same amount.
I would bet that Dennis Miller makes, how many shows a year does he have to do?
About 15.
I think that's about right, 13 to 20.
Could you imagine that, first off? Could you imagine having a job?
Yeah, we do 13
and
a half hours.
13 half hours.
Add it up. So that's add it up.
That's like two shows for us, Mike. That's like Monday and Tuesday.
I know.
I guarantee you, we ain't making no $1 million on Monday and Tuesday of this week.
I'd love to know that because, you know.
Rob, give me the number of HBO.
Let's find out what they pay Dennis Miller, because then we can get on his case a little bit more for doing those horrible, you know, 1-800 ads.
I would bet that Dennis Miller makes.
Are we doing by episode or a year?
No, for a year.
Yeah, it's better.
I'm going to bet per year. $3 million.
I'll say about 2.5.
Just off the show, right?
Yeah, just off the show. Right.
All right. I'll say $1.5 million.
And if any of those guesses are true, I will be blowing my head off on today's show. I will be committing suicide on the air if any of our guesses are true.
But there's certain other, you know, stars that get paid so much more money than that for, you know, for movies and things like that. It's very, that makes me a little more frustrated. At least Dennis Miller gives us entertainment.
Wouldn't you love to call HBO and go, how much does Dennis Miller make? He makes $300 an episode. Beautiful.
That's fantastic.
That'd be more like it.
That would be very, very exciting.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Mike Show, my brothers. What's going on?
Oh, don't mind. I don't want to talk to you every day, Tom. Knock it off.
He's going to be very, very upset. You know?
Well, you know, sometimes Tom calls.
I know, the bad time.
Too much. I mean, we're in the middle of a whole Dennis Miller thing, and Tom Gavin calls.
Yeah, you just don't want to push a monster around. You never know when he's going to, you know, can snap. Comes to you in the middle of the night. And that, to me, really, that is my idea of a true nightmare. That makes any of those Halloween, Friday the 13th movies.
Good evening, HBO. This is Steve.
Yes, hello, Steve.
Boy, listen to this voice.
Steve, this is the Don and Mike radio show, and we're doing a national radio show right now.
Mm-hmm.
How are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing all right.
How are things at HBO?
Oh, things are good here.
Hey, can I talk to somebody in payroll, please?
I don't know if you're going to catch anybody since it's almost 6 o'clock, but I will transfer you.
Well, no, okay, well, if I'm going to get voicemail, maybe you could help me out, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
We're just having the discussion here on a radio show
mm-hmm.
about how much Dennis Miller makes.
We're talking about the Dennis Miller show, and we were just having a big discussion about what he must make for that show, and where everybody's kind of confused as to what he's pulling down, because it hasn't really been publicized what he makes, or maybe it has and we haven't seen it, but we're just trying to figure out what Dennis Miller makes for doing the Dennis Miller live show.
How much do you make?
I would have no idea.
All right, let me ask you something, Steve. What do you do there at HBO?
Answer the phone. They work the switchboard and I'm in communications.
Okay, so we had a guess of $1.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
$3 million
and 2.5 million.
And $2.5 million. Do you think any of those sound ballpark, or do you think he makes more than that?
It's hard to say for Dennis.
Just your opinion, Steve.
I mean, ballpark, I guess 2.5, 3, that could sound right, but it's really hard to say.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Jesus Christ.
It's kind of like anchor person, you know, money.
Although they make $7 million a year.
I got another question for you about HBO.
Okay.
How can you run that goddamn Babber the Elephant so much? I hate that. Every time I turn on HBO in the morning, it's that stupid elephant.
Babar.
Yeah, but you know how many people call and they want Babar on in the morning?
Mm-hmm. The kids like
love
the Babar.
Babar.
Right. They really like the Babar.
They love him, yeah.
And you know what else I hate? Paddington the Bear.
You're watching HBO at the wrong time.
Right. You see, it's the safe, well, nonviolent program.
See, I work in the afternoon and early evening, Steve, so morning is my prime HBO time.
Steve? Okay, maybe you need to be watching one of the other HBO channels.
Mm-hmm. Ah, yes.
I've got them all, Steve.
Oh, really?
Steve, I'm not looking for trouble, but on that HBO family, show something other than Annie, please.
He's just the
enough
switchboard.
Is enough.
He's just the switchboard operator.
That's
right.
What he wants is. You to think.
I know, man, he is. You guys, y'all add the good cap to my day. Thank you very much.
Oh, you know, ladies and gentlemen, round of applause for Steve, who has the right attitude based on greater intelligence than some of the people we've talked to today.
Where are you calling from?
Hell. Hey, Steve, who do you think makes more? You think Chris Rock makes more or Dennis Miller? I got to think Chris Rock does.
I got to say Chris Rock is making more right now.
Definitely. You think Chris Rock's making $5 million a year from HBO?
I don't know, but I mean, with his movies and everything, he's definitely pulling in a lot more money than Dennis Miller right now.
How about Sarah Jessica Parker? There's another one.
Sex and the City.
My wife loves that show. I absolutely hate that show.
Steve, the creator of that show, Candace Bushnell, who created that show, how much do you think she gets per episode? A couple of $100,000, maybe?
That's a possibility.
Yeah.
Hey,
all right.
Steve, what would you think about a guy who took that lady Candace Bushnell to the prom and didn't even get anything off her?
Yeah, that was me. That was me, Steve.
Didn't French kiss her, didn't feel her up, didn't get anything.
Steve, we went to the prom as friends, though. You see, and it was understood that we were going to go to the prom as friends, and then nothing happened. And then, you know, years later, I'm doing this radio show, and I see that she's a big famous writer that gets her, you know, her book turned into a regular series on HBO, and I always mention her name.
Who takes a girl to the prom as a friend?
I don't know.
I do, Don.
For me.
I do, okay.
You hear that? It would have been a first for Steve.
I know. Well, Steve's a studly guy. I guess I just didn't have things working at that point.
I don't know about that, fellas. Where are you calling from?
Really, we're in D.C. So, so Sarah Jessica Parker, she can't make nearly as much as Chris Rock or Dennis Miller, right? I'll give you a trivia question, Steve.
I'm listening.
All right, I got a prize for you. In what country did Sarah Jessica Parker's husband, Matthew Broderick, commit vehicular manslaughter? If you can tell me what country he drove a guy over in his car and killed him and got away with it with.
That subject came up when I was over there.
Okay.
You never forget, do you? Yes, that's the question, Steve.
And what's the prize?
I don't know. I'll give you you probably don't want this. I have a bunch of Chris Rock T-shirts to give away.
I got a bunch of them myself.
For the new HBO season.
He said Ireland. He had it. I just
Ireland,
heard it.
Ireland. He had it.
He got it. We got to give him a prize now.
That's right. That's right.
Do we have any non-HBO prizes we can give?
Yes. I'll give you $100 at Planet Hollywood, okay?
Oh, now that sounds real good. Sure.
$100 to Planet Hollywood in celebration of Arnold Schwarzenegger's video collection. Available at stores everywhere. Planet Hollywood, always different, every time. Now playing a delicious new menu. How about that? So that
that little prick Matthew Broderick gets to go to Ireland, drive over a guy, kill a guy, and then he gets to come back here and be a movie star.
Isn't that something? In America.
I want to tell you something, Steve. You're a man of unique intelligence.
Absolutely. We got to give him. Really? We deal with so many people that blow us off all the time, and Steve hung in there with
Enjoyed speaking to you, Steve.
Hey, same here, fellas.
Okay, a final question. There at HBO, among people who are on the air, who's the biggest jerk coming in the front door?
Oh, see, I'm not touching that one.
I bet I know who it is. It's that dick who plays Arliss.
Robert Wool?
Right.
Robert Wool has been nice to us.
And
we didn't like his show. Wait a minute. We didn't like his show, but he's been a real nice guy, even when we told him we thought his show sucked. Remember when he came on the show?
Oh, I forgot that. Yeah. All right, I forgot that. He was so desperate, he kept coming on, even when we told him we still didn't like his show.
Right, absolutely. Right. He's a lot of things, but he's not a dick.
All right, I take it back. Can you tell us who's been, if not a member of the HBO family, who's been the biggest showbiz dick to you there at the front?
I can't even do that, fellas. Unless y'all got a job for me, you know?
Really? You ever see Kathy Lee?
Actually, no, I haven't.
I guess, I'll go the other way. Who's the nicest person that you have come in contact with that is a major star since you've been working at HBO?
Who's the nicest person?
Nicest person.
Oh, now that's a tough one, too, because actually most of the people that come through here
are just business types?
They really have pretty good attitudes. I mean, no, the stars come through, but they're pretty down to earth.
Pick one star that was very nice to you.
One star that was actually Chris Rock.
All right. Uh-huh. That doesn't surprise me either.
Yeah.
We like him.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're good.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, good.
So he's not a dick, right?
No, absolutely not. He's real cool.
That's
cool.
Good to hear. That's great.
All right, thank you, Steve.
All right, very good.
Thank you. Hold on for your prize there, Steve. Hold on a second.
That's Steve from HBO. That fits the whole HBO thing.
You know, as far as I'm concerned, Steve could be the new vice president of programming for HBO. He sounded very much like he knew what was going on.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Steve's the right guy for the job. Which means, I know only one thing. Steve won't be doing that job very long. he's just, how many people we deal with are like, what? Huh? Hello? Those are the peepers.
Big show.
All right.
Is this Dory or Lori? Hello?
Hello?
Hello, is this Dory or Lori?
Lori.
Hey, everybody. From Reading, Pennsylvania, please welcome Dory and Lori.
All right.
Siamese twins.
How you guys doing?
Fine, but the word is conjoined twins.
I'm sorry, what is the word?
Conjoined.
Conjoined twins.
Yeah.
Now, you are Lori.
I'm Lori.
And Dory is right there with you?
She's right here.
It's crazy.
Why don't you hold on and I'll put the answering machine thingy on.
Oh, okay.
The
speakerphone? Okay, good. Yes, hello, girls.
Are you both there?
Yes.
Hi, gals. Now, you live in the great state of Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Which one is Dory?
Me.
Hi, Dory.
Hi.
And Lori, hi.
Hi.
Can I ask how old you gals are?
35.
35?
Yes.
And I understand that you are making headlines because not only are you very close together, you know what I mean, but you also sing country and western.
Well, my sister Dory does only.
Only Lori doesn't, but Dory does.
Right, she's the country singer.
Do you enjoy the singing when she does it? I think that would make things a lot easier.
Oh yes, I do like it. It's very nice. She does very good. I'm very proud of her.
Yeah, I have so many questions that I've always wanted to ask somebody like you gals. Like, it would absolutely drive me crazy if I had to do everything that my brother wanted to do. Who's more dominant, Dory or Lori?
Actually, it's a lot of compromise. We take turns in doing what each other wants to do.
Do you guys get in a lot of fights?
No, actually we don't.
What's it like with guys when you go out on a date?
Well, Dory doesn't do much dating right now. She's more into her music right now. She's trying to get that off the ground and do that really well. So she's not really dating.
Now, you're conjoined at the head and for the past 35 years, and I want to know, how do you find privacy? Do you have techniques that you use when you want to have quiet time yourself?
Well, she Dory has her own room back here where her phone is right now, actually.
Mm-hmm.
This is her room for her to do what she wants to do, and this is not my room.
But when she goes to her room, don't you have to go with her?
I have to, but, you know, I'm quiet and I don't interrupt her.
Do you guys make out any kind of a schedule to do stuff you want to do?
No, not unless it's her going to do her singing and stuff. Mm-hmm. Then we have to do that.
What about TV? Do you have lots of fights about what to watch on TV?
No, we don't. We know what each other likes and doesn't like, so if one of us doesn't like something, the other one does. The one just watches it and the other one doesn't.
Can I ask you gals a real personal question? And it's about relations.
Yeah?
About if you're going to have relations with a fella, how do you work that? Do you have to get two guys?
No.
So
I'm not interested in that area right now.
But, okay, but let's say that the one that's singing, Dory, is not interested in it. What if Lori's interested in it? Has that ever come up?
I've had relationships, yes.
Well, you have?
Yes, sure.
And I would imagine that one sister would have to approve of the other sister's...
Oh.
What?
No.
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 What do? Close your eyes?
It's mine and the fella's relationship. That's not hers.
But she's there, though.
But she doesn't have to like who I'm out with. That's my business.
Now, it says in this article I'm reading that... That Lori is the dominant over the top sister.
That's what they wrote, but
you don't buy that?
We both just compromise really well.
Says that, is this quote?
Yes, I am a little dominant. You are right. I am a little sometimes.
Is the quote true here that says, and this comes from you, Lori, where you say, "Hey, I've got all the things you guys like: nice big boobs and a nice big round butt."
I know.
What?
He wasn't supposed to have put that in there. I was just talking to him.
Oh, you were just talking to him.
Do you have nice big boobs, though?
He went beyond what he should have done.
Well,
I didn't want that in there.
Okay, but...
We're just talking as people, and then he wrote that in.
Being as it's in there, though, do you have nice big boobs?
Well, it depends on the person that's looking at it. I can't tell you I do.
Do you have...
The six.
Do you have the same size boobs as your sister?
No, I don't.
You don't?
No.
Could I ask your bra size?
No.
I can't.
You wouldn't tell us that, huh?
No, I wouldn't tell you that because there are, like I said, some private things that are not supposed to be put in paper.
Mm-hmm. I got you.
That was one thing I don't approve that he did.
Well, see, we just happen to be fascinated with boobs on this show. It's, you know, we always have been. We can't help ourselves.
That's your prerogative.
Mm-hmm. See, to go out with you guys would be like a
relationship
dream,
just for the sex.
A dream come true, you know, four boobs at once.
Well, no.
No, okay.
Now, are you guys joined at the head? Was there ever any, or could there be any medical way that you guys could have been separated, or was that always and today would still be impossible?
No, it wouldn't be impossible, but it wouldn't be... very good either.
You mean there's to be a very dangerous procedure?
Very dangerous, yes.
How the heck?
Right now we're fine, so why mess with what's good?
You guys seem so well adjusted. Could you tell me how you've made it through 35 years of being joined to your sister at the head? I mean, is there a secret for your success?
No, it's just called faith.
Explain that. Elaborate on that a little bit.
Faith?
Yes.
Well, believing in yourself, believing in the Lord, and knowing that He did this for a reason, and you don't ask why, you just live this way and you accept it.
Is going to the bathroom a problem?
No.
No. But when one of you goes, the other one has to be along.
That's true. We have to be everywhere the other one is, but that doesn't mean we have to be watching exactly everything the other person's doing.
And as far as food, are there things that Lori, that you love that your sister hates, or
absolutely?
What would be the best example of a food that you absolutely adore and your sister can't stand the sight of?
I don't know. I don't know if there's any. She doesn't eat meat at all.
No, she's a vegetarian.
Right, and I'm eating meat all the time, so she has to put up with that.
Well, that's great.
And what about sleep? Do you guys have to be on the same sleep cycle?
Nope.
No, you don't. So you sleep at different times.
Well, we both go to bed at the same time, but it doesn't mean that I have to sleep when she sleeps.
Mm-hmm. And how did you guys happen to show up in this newspaper that we read about? How did are you guys actively seeking publicity? Would you like to be on, like, one of the talk shows or something like that?
We have been on talk shows around here.
Uh-huh. Would you like to be, like, what is your goal, like, to be on Jerry Springer? Or?
Were.
Yeah.
Oh, you were on Jerry Springer?
Been on him, yes.
Oh, what a surprise that is. Yes.
We love
that.
Been on him. We've been on Jerry Springer's show.
And you guys, I guess there's got to be a lot of love between you guys to get through this thing.
We are very close to each other.
And
in a matter of speaking, know what I mean.
In a matter of speaking, of course.
And not only in bodily, but in love and all that.
And Dory, did we ask you to sing one of your country songs, or did you not feel like doing that, or was it Lori? Who are we?
No, it's Dory that sings.
It's Dory that sings, and we're talking to Lori now, right?
Right.
Okay, Dory, are you there?
Yes.
Dory, could we trouble you for? Do you have any original compositions?
I have stuff on my tape. That I did. She just put a tape out.
Would you like to sing something for us?
We'd be glad to give your tape a plug on our show here.
The tape is called Never Ending Love, by the way.
Never Ending Love, all right.
And it's by Dory.
And it's by me.
Right.
It was recorded in Nashville. We don't have any out in the stores yet. I just got 100 of them to sell for myself.
Mm-hmm.
That goes good. Hopefully I'll get signed to a company, and we can have a tape out maybe at the end of the year.
Well, listen, you should send us a copy of the song, and we'll play it on our show, and we'd be glad to give out your address or a phone number.
All I have are tapes, and radio stations need CDs.
Oh, no, not this radio station.
No, we can handle that. You send us a tape, we'll play it.
Hey, listen, I'm pretty sure that our fans would support you girls in your call. I bet you could sell all 100 copies just based on this telephone call to our show.
I don't do it anymore. I have to get more.
Oh, you have to get more?
Yes. Wow. She sold pretty many already.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, listen, if you gals do want to, would you like to give out a phone number or an address to see what kind of response you get?
Well, first I'd have to get the tapes.
Oh, first you want to get the tapes. All right, well, okay. You do that.
All right, well, listen,
if I get sales and I don't have the tapes, that's not good.
Right.
That's
right.
Gotcha. Yeah, that would be a difficult situation.
I got gotcha. You. Well, we just wanted to call to say hi, that we like everybody fascinated by your story, and we wanted...
Us to come out there, and they know a way to get us out. We're willing.
Well, oh, now listen. What if? Where are you in Pennsylvania?
We're in Reading.
What town is that? Is that by where? Where do we broadcast in Pennsylvania?
Pittsburgh, Philadelphia.
We're on in suburban Pittsburgh, and we're on somewhere like in the Carlisle, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've heard of there.
Well, listen, we'll get you girls down here. We'd love to have you come by on our show one day.
Where is this now?
We're calling from Washington, D.C.
That's what I thought. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we do a national show. It goes all over the country.
Yeah, we're close enough by.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Sure.
What if we sent a nice limo to pick your girls up? How would that be?
Hey, that'd be fine.
Would you like that?
Absolutely.
Well, all right, hold on then. Rob, why don't you pick up and book Dory and Lori for the show? Then.
Dory and Lori, and with the country music career, that's great.
Hello, beautiful. That
would be very good publicity for my sister.
Well, listen,
on their live.
We'd love to have you come by, and this is our producer, RJ.
Yeah, bring the guitar with you.
All right.
And, Robbie, let's see if we can book them ASAP.
We will make it happen.
Okay. Thank you, Lori and Dory. We're going to leave you now.
You have our number.
Okay, hold on. Our producer's going to talk to you now.
Thanks, ladies.
All right.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Well, now, who would have thought that the Siamese twins would be so fantastic personality-wise?
Yeah, they're very cool, and that's something we'd love to get them down here and, you know, listen to the music, get the guitar and the whole nine yards. That is, you know, we
can stare at them, let's be honest.
Yeah, I'm sure they're used to that 35 years, and,
wow.
You know, we're looking at the picture, and they are literally joined at the front of their head. It's
wow.
Amazing.
Yeah, one of them, the forehead goes into, like, the left side of the other one's face. I guess it's Dory, who has more of her face showing in this picture, and Lori, who
it's
has...
It's hard to tell with that photograph exactly, you know, what that looks like, but, man, that is... To live an entire life like that, there's some brave people. They really
are.
You
can imagine trying to walk through your house. I mean,
mm-hmm.
It probably took them a while to get that down pat.
Listen, that would be the highlight of my 25 years in broadcasting.
Sure.
We finally get some Siamese twins, and they're Siamese twins with a personality.
Yeah, they're fantastic.
Yeah.
That's great.
And maybe we could help them. Maybe
mm-hmm.
maybe we could catapult them to
sure.
whatever the next level is that they want.
They've made the tape. They've got the songs on the tape. We'll sell some copies of the tape for them. That's fantastic.
Rob? Hey, come here, RJ. Come here, let me talk to the guy who picked a Marx Brothers movie for our blockbuster section.
Mm-hmm.
Come on in, Mr. Good Taste. So how do they seem?
They seem like they're up for it.
Yeah?
I'll start calling around and see if we can get a limo to go up there and get them.
That's fantastic.
We can get a limo. Well, come on, even if we have to pay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's,
sure.
Don't trade it out, just get a limo. Let's pay for it. Bring
sure.
them down here. Give them a good time. We'll give them a whole show.
That'll be fantastic.
The whole show devoted to Lori and Dory.
Man, that's great. And like
swinging Chappelle.
It's like the weirdest thing we've ever done. I think this is possibly the weirdest thing we've ever
creepy,
done.
Creepy, actually.
And they don't like Siamese twins, do they? They like conjoined twins.
Conjoined twins.
And the one that was doing most of the talking, that would have been Lori, right?
I believe. And doesn't sing.
I have so many questions about their bathroom habits and their feminine habits and what it's like with guys. And
sure. And they seem, at least this article that we're looking at, they're talking about men and relationships. Well, you heard Lori say she's had relationships with men before.
Yes.
Wow.
Dory's focusing on her music, though.
You just tell Jimmy the intern to calm down, okay?
Yeah, I know. It's
climbing the wall.
Two girls at once.
Right.
All right, well, work that out, Rob. And don't waste time trying to trade out the limo. If you got to, just, pay for it yourself.
Sure.
We'll be back in a moment. Our thanks to Lori and Dory. Well, there you go.
Wow.
How long have we talked about wanting to have conjoined twins, and now
we got them. Yeah.
We've met them, and they've got a personality to boot.
And what a surprise. They had been on the Jerry Springer Show.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
So you're getting better. That's the important thing. You look better, too.
If you're going to lie to me, coming into Broadway in a car, I want to tongue my balls.
Hey, you want that? It's a phone call away.
The Don and Mike Show. They're dope on the floor, and they're magic on the mic. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
We have information about the cheese roller.
Okay.
From Gloucester, is that pronounced?
Yep, Gloucester.
That's what I hear.
Gloucester, England. First Sunday in May is a unique opportunity to witness the ancient custom of cheese rolling. Well, it must be the last Sunday in May, because I just saw it on the news just today.
Yeah, and there was videotape that looked pretty fresh.
After rolling three double Gloucester cheeses around the church, one is cut up and shared by bystanders, and the other two are rolled down a steep hill.
I guess you got to pick the grass out of it, though.
Yeah, and what's the point of this? I mean, you have to see the tape of this, of these nutty British guys, where they're standing up on top of really what looks like a mountain, like something that would be a Mission Impossible 2.
I think what it is very similar to the running of the bulls. This is an opportunity for, a European country, people to do things foolish when they have lots of time on their hands.
But at least when you're running with the bulls.
Right.
As retarded as that is,
yes.
At least I can see that there's some logic there, that you're running away. There's a bull who's running after you,
right.
And your motivation is to run very fast so that the bull doesn't gore you. They're just taking a big wheel of cheese, rolling it down a steep hill and saying, go get it.
And the first guy that catches it, it's a race.
And what does the guy get, the first guy who catches it?
He gets the cheese and the respect of his peer group.
Right, well, we are going to call the police.
I'm not sure whether there's a cash prize. We'll have to ask when we speak to the Gloucester Police Department.
Find out if there's a cash prize.
Hello.
You get to keep the cheese. It's such a big wheel. It's such a big wheel, it will feed the family for years.
Hello.
Ask them if they know Flo from the beach house.
They probably do.
Lisa, can I help you?
Yes, hello. This is the Don and Mike Show. Do you mind going on the air with
anybody there we could speak to about your cheese roll? The rolling of the cheese down the hill?
Thank you, love.
It's a tradition, really.
Hello.
It's a bit of a ancient family tradition.
Hello. This is Flo from the beach house.
Come on. I'm 22. I'm 22. I'll take you all on.
I'll give you a BJ. My name's Flo.
You want a BJ? Are you having me on? Are you having me on now?
Oh, buggers. They're not answering the phone.
Bollocks.
Well, we're getting nowhere in England.
It's nice to know. I just want to say, it's nice to know that in the UK, they can still give you the same runaround at police departments still around here. Go on.
Robbie, why don't you find me a number besides the police department? Right. Somebody besides the police.
Maybe the cheese factory. Would it be like, Wisconsin, where I make the cheese?
Oh, yeah. The town we used to live in Wisconsin was good, Beloit, Wisconsin. They had a cheese factory right in the center of town.
That had to smell good.
And every summer, I swear to God, you would go downtown and it smelled rancid, like the inside of someone's jock strap. Because the cheese factory, no lie, a real cheese factory
right.
In the middle of Beloit, Wisconsin.
They had their renderings, right?
Yes, they would be making cheese.
Oh.
And every once in a while, if you were lucky,
like on a Friday, you could pull up and you could buy some of their leavens.
Oh.
Some of the cheese leavens.
I bet it was good cheese.
Like for a dollar. You give them a dollar and they would just give you a bag
of leavens
that had assorted cheese leavens.
Oh, the best cheese ever.
The gentle, easy lifestyle.
Was it
Beloit, Wisconsin?
Was it gourmet cheese or was it the processed, you know, like big, big time cheese that you get like Kraft Singles?
No, I think it was, I'm pretty sure. You know, my brother would know, but I should just try to call my brother. I would call my brother anyway about suing my parents.
I'd love to talk cheese. I mean, I know that you've spoken very fondly about your days in the cheese factory area.
Yes, in Beloit, Wisconsin.
And you guys would get free cheese a lot when you go down and get the free cheese?
You wouldn't get free cheese. You'd
get a dollar?
A dollar on Friday, and they would give you a paper bag, a brown paper bag that was full of cheese leavens.
Cheese leavens.
All right, let me see if my brother's at home.
Scary that it wasn't a clear plastic bag with a Ziploc. Probably smelled the same as Buzz's bag.
There might have been a similarity there.
Right, although, who knows? Maybe my brother's at work right now. We'll just leave a message, have him call in.
The number you have reached, 36.
Okay, hold on. Maybe I misdialed.
Okay.
Hold on a second. Hold on.
Yeah, I'd like to talk to your brother, find out exactly what's going on. Give him a little moral support. Sounds like he had a bad day yesterday.
I never heard from him last night.
Mm.
Okay, let me see. Well,
the number you have reached, 36.
I don't know. You know him.
You think?
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, dear.
Could be. He could have... Oh, hold on. I dialed the wrong number.
Good. Good.
I was going to say, he could have pulled a Rusty Ford on us.
It's out of service again. Like they turned my electricity off.
Or he had to change his number again.
Sir, good old friend Rusty Ford. Oh,
nope.
The number you have reached, 368.
Nope, that's it. Sorry. Number out of service.
It's been taken out of service?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dear.
Yep. All right. Well, maybe he'll call in today.
Our old friend Rusty used to have his phone and electricity turned off almost every other month. And I remember one time I was walking up to his apartment when they had the big blue slip taped to his door. Oh, damn. They did it again, Mike. Oh, what am I going to cook my beans on?
You remember how pissed Rusty would get? We used to do a bit on the show. We'd bet to find out if Rusty's phone was turned on or not. We'd all bet. And then live on the air, we'd call and see if we got the boop, 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 saying the phone number you've dialed is temporarily out of service.
And I swear to God, it seemed like, you know, there were periods of time when his phone would be turned on, but it seemed like every time you called that number, we got the doo-doo-doo.
Disconnected. Temporarily disconnected because he didn't pay the bill.
He also got mad when we played that that old song, Just Got Paid.
Just Got Paid.
Friday night.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, I just wanted to tell you that the Gallagher brothers.
Yes, ma'am.
They're not twins, but they are brothers.
No, that's scary.
They're not twins, but they look exactly the same, don't they?
Kind of. The one brother that I think is copying the original grew his hair out and wears the same striped shirt. But when I read the magazine article, I don't remember. They're not twins, but they are brothers.
Well, Gallagher is bald outside of that hair that's on the side of his head that he's grown down to his shoulders, right?
I would think, wouldn't they have to look at least similar enough you couldn't tell the difference? Because doesn't Gallagher, too, go on the road and he doesn't say, hey, I'm Gallagher's brother. He says, I'm Gallagher.
He wears the striped shirt and the suspenders, and he wears that same driver's cap with the long hair. So when they're in costume and they're performing, even though they're not twins, they do look very, very much alike.
How do you know so much about Gallagher?
I read the same article this woman did. I believe it was in People magazine a few
honest,
weeks ago.
Yeah. Be honest. Be honest.
Okay, I travel with him. Okay,
now he goes to the show.
Buzz is a fan.
Yes.
That's Buzz's favorite comedian. It's always a toss-up between Gallagher and Yakov Smirnoff.
And don't forget Jeff Foxworthy.
Yeah.
All of Buzz's favorite.
Ray Stevens.
Not enough time.
Gigglemeisters.
We ought to compose Buzz's list of favorite comedians.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, you're on the air. Hi.
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 I just wanted to tell you, that guy that you're talking about, the Jeff Van Gundy look-alike. Not dead. He's actually even got an infomercial on where he's selling either cookware or he's doing something with some sort of a cooking infomercial. I think
see,
there's
not.
And pans
if
whatever.
You're going to contradict, it's very difficult when you're not coming up with real information here. You
hey, Buzzy, ask Jeeves.
Okay.
What was the guy's name, Rob?
I don't remember his name.
Okay, I'm not. Hold on.
But,
thank you. What's his name, Robbie?
Vincent Schiavelli. I think it's S-C-H-I-A-V-I-L-L-I.
All right, hang on just a second.
Go and ask Jeeves and find out if he's alive or dead.
S-C-H-I-A-V-E-L-L-I.
I think I know.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, this is William.
Yes, hi, William.
I'm given to understand that you're looking on information on Gloucester's cheese roll.
Yes, we are, sir.
Yes. Well, I'm originally from the area. In the 1860s, the cheese roll was begun by Darby Smith. Now, he was more what you would call a pioneer in cheese roll. We don't have too many sports in the Gloucester area.
You don't believe this guy, Mike?
Not for a second. No, he's lying.
You don't believe me in
it's a bad British accent.
Not a bit. I do have a bad British accent.
Yes, you do. It's terrible, my good man. It's not legitimate.
Well, it's from Washington, D.C. now, unfortunately. I've been living in D.C. for the past 4 years.
Yes, of course. Are you having us on?
Having you on? Okay, I haven't used that in years of an England. I'm sorry.
Oh, buggers, I believe that Mike busted you.
Yes, I believe you're jerking our chain and that the conclusion of this diatribe would result in some sort of D's nuts.
He's rubbed this up.
No, not at all.
Or perhaps one of those Joseph Mother calls.
Of course, that's exactly where he's going with this.
Well, perchance, yes.
Yes, not a chance.
Yes, absolutely.
You have busted me. Please do not leave my phone number at the date.
All right, thank you.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. All right. Yeah, bye. See ya.
That's terrible.
Bah.
Yes, I know. In the 1860s, you see, he's the real
How does Mike show? Hello?
Don?
Yes, hi.
Gallagher's brother, Gallagher 2,
yes.
He is a huge fat guy. Gallagher is more Moses-like than Gallagher 2.
All right. Hey, you know, we're going to have to get a picture of both Gallaghers so we can decide for ourselves.
It's amazing. You know, in the Internet age, it is truly amazing. You know, we can find out the questions that would previously go unanswered, we can find out instantaneously.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Don, Mike, Buzz. Hi, it's Frank from Germantown. How's it going?
Yes, hello, Frank.
Quick note for Buzz. To get a like status on Vincent Schiavelli, go to a website, International Movie Database.
That's a good one. Try that one, Buzz.
Okay.
It's imdb.com.
Hey, Robbie, okay. I'm afraid we need the Father Time music. Oh, Rob is not. Look at that. Rob has actually left his meal in the back of the room. That's how busy he is today.
Unattended.
Okay. Hold on. And
this is giving Buzz a little extra time.
There's the music. Now, is that with the W's?
Yes, www.imdb.com.
No, but it's sans W's.
He actually
everything's with W's,
no,
right?
No, it isn't. No, my website's not.
Your website?
Right.
What, your personal website?
Well, my business one, you know, for my other stuff.
It doesn't start with www?
Mm-mm.
What does it start with?
http://?
Right, and then just right into the name. A lot of new websites are doing that because they're running out of addresses.
Are they really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, more or less.
But if you want on a computer, couldn't you type in www. Dot and then whatever your website is, and it would still come up?
I haven't actually tried that, but maybe. A lot of these search engines now are really smart about that.
I just love the energy whenever we do this little experiment.
Okay, I have a movie database. Now I'm looking for Vincent Schiavelli, or Schiavelli, as this guy pronounces it.
All right, and of course, at the same time, Charles Broyhill's come into our studio, and he is firing up our computer since he is now in a race with you, Buzz, to see who can download this the fastest.
Oh, I didn't know it'd be a race.
What was the other information we were trying to get? There were two.
A picture of the Gallagher brothers.
The Gallagher brothers. Right.
A picture of both of them. All right, hold on.
Especially if the guy claims that the one Gallagher is super turbo fat.
Charlie Broyhill still trying to look for the name. Thank you. We're on it. Thank you, Frank.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks for the call.
I'm to his listing now. What did you want to know about him?
Whether he's alive or dead.
Okay. Have his birth date.
What you're hearing now, ladies and gentlemen, this is confident Buzz.
Mm-hmm.
This is Buzz way out in front.
Initially, how did we find out he was dead? Did you read it somewhere that he was dead?
I said it.
Oh, you said it, so you...
I said it.
But you didn't...
Everything I say, it could be right or it could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure somebody told me that guy was dead.
Okay.
I was talking to somebody over the weekend and saying how much that actor looked like Van Gundy when I was watching the Knicks game.
And then somebody said he's dead.
He's dead.
Hmm. I had thought I'd heard the same thing also. I see here that his wife is no longer with us, but they don't mention that he's passed, which makes me think maybe he's still alive.
All right. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, buddy.
Hello. Hey, buddy.
Not that I am like Johnny of all trivia on Vincent Schiavelli, but I do know about four or five movies he was in, and I believe he's alive.
He was in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, wasn't he?
He was in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. He was in Night Shift with Henry Winkler and Michael Keaton. He was the guy that rubbed mustard from Henry Winkler's sandwich on his doorpost.
Yes.
He was in Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Right, that one we figured out.
And I do believe he was married to Miss DePesto from Moonlighting.
And I think Rob had that also. Thank you, my friend. Really, no new information there.
Now, this is very obscure, but I'm going to bring it up because it's a similar type of guy. There was a similar type of guy. He didn't have any hair.
He's alive.
But he was the long, bald guy.
Who's
he's alive? Vincent Schiavelli's alive?
Vincent Schiavelli, yeah. He's made movies as recently as this year. He was
in
Three Strikes, and American Saint. Last year, he was in Man on the Moon.
Charlie Broyhill has just pulled up the exact same website. He was also in Baggage. He was also in Prince and the Surfer. There's no picture, Mike. It's
you
just
knew that's why I was coming over, right?
That's why you're looking. There's no picture.
Tomorrow Never Dies, Blade Runner.
All right. Then he must still be alive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he is alive.
And the teacher he played was Mr. Vargas.
In Fast Times at Ridgemont
High.
Mr. Vargas.
Perfect, with the heart.
All right. Thank you, Head. Thank you.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
We're here. We're clear. We don't want any more bears.
We're here. We're clear. We don't want any more bears.
Hey, Homer, that's a pretty catchy chant. Where'd you learn it?
Oh, I heard it at the mustache parade they have every year.
The Don and Mike Show. Sweeter than Vince Lombardi's caramelized scrotum. The Don and Mike Show.
Did you hear what Joe Arger was telling me out in the hallway just a minute ago?
Yes, about Scott the Dwarf.
He's got a TV commercial. Now, I don't know whether this is true or not. It's for one of the dot-coms. But when you walked in, he finished the story that apparently Scott the Dwarf goes to an amusement park, tries to get on a roller coaster, but they won't let him on because he's too short. And then he goes on a website and types in angrydwarves.com and rustles up all the little people. And they go back to the amusement park and they shove people out of the way and they get on. I don't know how big a commercial, if this is a national commercial.
I'd like to believe that.
Yes.
I say take the Ardinger factor.
That you, are you thinking what I'm thinking, that maybe it's just another dwarf?
You know, listen, they all look the same. No offense to Scott. You know.
If Scott's listening, you know, he'll be angry and he'll call in and let us know. And if he's not angry at you for saying that, he'll be angry at Joe for getting it wrong, that it was not that it was not Scott on that commercial.
I would think if Scott, the angry argumentative dwarf, had starred in a commercial.
Especially if it's a national commercial.
For a .com.
Right.
He would have told us about it.
Yeah, and you know, then we were discussing, Joe and I were discussing how just incredibly hot Scott the Dwarf must be, and Joe told me he's the bomb, and then we giggled and we walked away.
I'd like to know how high Joe was when he was watching TV. Hey, Joe!
We're going to have another appearance on the show of Mr. Joe Ardinger.
Joseph Ardinger, our favorite Joe.
He's wearing one of his dress-up T-shirts today. You know? And this little cut above his normal fare.
All right, where's radio's Joseph Ardinger? Here, we can't find him? All right.
Oh, we have to find him. We must find Joe. He just arrived.
Well, he's probably out in his car.
Hey, Buzz, you know where he is, don't you?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
Getting ready for the show. All right, well, when you find Joe, bring him in. In the meantime, we're going to try to call Cuba.
Okay?
Cuba! Because I'm just like everybody. Oh, here he is. Here's Joseph Ardinger.
Joe Ardinger. Joe, I was passing along that fascinating story you were telling me about Scott the Dwarf. And,
right.
And Don and I are both a little suspicious.
Are you sure it was Scott and not some other dwarf?
Yeah, I was very sure. In fact, Brian Cosgrove was sitting there with me, and he's the one who ID'd him first.
Is he your credibility source,
sure.
Cosgrove?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Were you guys of sound mind and body at the time you were watching?
I was only on my fourth beer.
All right, Joe. So you swear to that? Did that Scott the Dwarf?
Yeah, I'm surprised he didn't bring it up earlier today.
All right, thank you. Joseph Ardinger.
Hmm. Boy, if it's true, Scott the Dwarf just incredibly hot.
He's blowing up.
He is.
Our favorite Joe Ardinger.
There goes Joe.
All right, now listen, about Cuba.
Yes.
Jesus, about Cuba. I know we talked about Alien and the Fishermen for about a half hour earlier today.
Right.
But the one thing I've not heard anybody do is try to call somebody in Cuba to ask them if they give a rat's ass about Elian Gonzalez.
Interesting. I'd like to do that. And, you know, I'm sure that there are a number of people in Cuba. We might get lucky that speak English, and we can maybe find out.
Well, we researched. We found a hotel.
Ah,
a hotel.
Good.
It says, elegance and hospitality are to be found in this hotel in the heart of Savannah, and they speak both Spanish and American.
Is it Savannah or Havana?
What did I say? Savannah, Havana.
All right. Well, this will be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I always like it when we get international. We succeeded with France last week.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see how we can do with Cuba. Really find out how they feel if it's playing out. Well, it's probably bigger over there than it is over here.
Well, you know, it's propaganda.
Yeah.
I mean, for them, it's all propaganda.
They're very angry.
You know, I heard their TV shows don't start. Like, the TV doesn't turn on until 8:30 on
Saturday morning.
Oh, that's got to suck.
And if they interrupted the cartoons. Hello?
Do you hear me?
Yes, hello. This is the Don and Mike Show. Do you mind going on the air with us? Am I calling Cuba?
Yes, this is Cuba.
Yes.
What do you need?
What I need is, what do you think about Alien?
Alien Gonzalez.
Who's speaking?
This is Don and Mike. We're doing a radio show from the United States.
What do you think of Alien?
What are your feelings on the subject? Hello?
Can you give me some cigars?
Yeah, there's the real reason we call Cuba. Right. We're going to have to make a lot more calls now.
Okay, hold on.
See, I do not care. Here's the dream scenario for you, isn't it? I do not care at all about Alien. I will send you 18 boxes of the finest Cuban cigars for $1.
And the call's deductible.
That would be a fringe benefit there. And then you could write it off because it was part of the show.
Part of the show. Right, let's call back. Maybe we'll get a different guy. Or maybe he's not allowed to comment.
That might be, it's a repressive society. At least that's what we're told.
Hello?
Hello?
Hola. This is the Don and Mike Show. Do you mind going on the air with us?
Pardon?
Yes, we're calling from America from the Don and Mike Radio Show.
Yeah?
Yes. How do you feel about Elian Gonzalez?
How I feel?
Yes, how do you and the Cuban people feel about what's going on with...
My personal opinion.
Yes, see, see.
Yes, if you're allowed to have one. What is it?
He has to come back urgently, you know?
Urgently? Why urgently?
Yeah. Why?
Yes, why?
Because this is his country.
Okay, fair enough. Okay. Can you get me some cigars?
It's like, what?
Can you get me some cigars?
You might want to specify the brand.
Monty's. Monty number 2.
Monte Cristo's.
Trinidad. Cohiba. Punch Punch.
Hoyo de Madre.
Where you can find it.
Romeo and Juliet. Can you get me
what
some?
What do you need to know? Where you can find it?
No, I need you to get me some and smuggle them into this country. Could you give me a box of Cohibas and smuggle them in your underpants for me?
No, I can't.
I need a box of Cohiba Robustos. I need them immediately.
How many pesos would that be? Or is peso the currency over there?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know,
but you can call to the National Hotel. They have a cigar store there.
They're illegal in this country, so you have to smuggle them. How many boxes of cigars would you trade me Elian Gonzalez for? If I gave you the boy, boxes of cigars would you give me?
Hello?
I believe
you seem to push his hot button with that.
And he's gone.
He is a boy. He is not worth cigars. he's much worth much more than that.
The offer disgusted him.
I would have held out for that number at the National Hotel. You could have called directly into the cigar store.
Well, I know the number of plenty of cigar stores in Cuba.
Thank you for calling, Mr. Geronimo. We will load up the cigars in a private plane. We will sneak them into the country. We will fly them directly to your house in Virginia. Gracias, and thank you for your sentiments about the boy. I think you have a better chance. Hello?
Hola.
Dígame.
Hola. Hi, this is the Don and Mike Show. Do you mind going on the air with us?
Dígame.
Great phone quality down there.
Hola.
Hey. I have a lot of work, okay? I can give you an interview right now because I'm working right now, okay?
How about one little interview?
Hello?
No, I can't. Okay?
How about one tiny little interview?
Yeah.
And he's gone.
There you go.
And he's gone.
Hafana.
Named after Sam Huff.
Boy, poor kid. Now I feel bad for the kid going back.
Sure.
Sam Hafana.
Yeah.
Hey, all right. He came out on the short end of the stick.
This is Sam Huff.
Welcome to the dictator of Cuba.
That's right. That's what's going to happen when they finally go democratic. They're going to change Havana to Huffana.
Vote for Sam Huff.
And Sam Huff will be the leader of Cuba.
Sam Huff would make a good dictator. Is that really in his book?
Yeah, he was a congressman, and his slogan was, Sam Huff will make a good congressman.
That was his slogan. Sam Huff would make a good congressman.
Telling it like it is. No need to overthink it, Rob.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, Don and Mike, you crazy bastards.
Hey, you son of a bitch.
You're the funniest bastards I've ever listened to.
I love being a funny bastard.
You guys really are. Calling from Tehachapi, California. Yes. And my son and I were coming back from the L.A. area. We had a job to do over there.
My son and I were at the plushie convention.
How did you know we were plumbers?
No,
we
I said
we're
plushie.
Plumbers.
Oh, you're plumbers.
Yeah, we're plumbers.
Is the crack of your butt showing right now?
No, mine's not that way, but my son's is.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. Really?
Oh. Hey, we were coming back, and we were listening to your show, and we were just cracking up. It was the one when you had Dumb Bastard in there. That
Dumb
was
bastard.
The funniest show I've ever heard. We get home and we're telling my
Some
wife.
Some might say we're doing that show right now.
we're telling my wife about, my son and I were telling my wife about these crazy bastards that did the Dumb Bastard show. And she's quite overweight, but she's on a diet losing weight. So she named herself Fat Bastard. She named me Angry Bastard, named my son Horny Bastard. We named Grandma that lives with us Old Bastard, and the cat Lazy Bastard.
It's the Bastard family.
It's the Bastard family, yeah. And when are you going to do that show again?
I don't know. When are you going to do that
again? Thank you, though. When your wife loses the weight.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, she'll start losing right now, 1 pound a day.
1 pound a day, all right.
Yeah. Hey, that was tremendously funny, though.
Well, thanks for calling, you bastard.
You bet. Take care, you bastard.
Right. Bye-bye. Hello. David.
Yes, sir.
Hi, you're on the air.
Well, I fear I'm going to disturb you, but that Scott the Dwarf commercial is real.
How do you know what Scott the Dwarf looks like?
Well, he's identified as Scott the Dwarf. They actually put his name at the bottom of it.
Really? Well, that doesn't make a lot of sense. Scott is just so non-helpful to this show. Mm-hmm. Hate to say that. But, you know, he calls that one time, and then we really want some information from him. You would think he would have mentioned it.
I think it was on MTV or something like that, but it was a .com, and it's real.
Wow. All right, can you describe him?
Little guy.
He's short, told you.
Yeah, how's that for helpful?
They all look the same. Beard? No, Scott doesn't have a beard, does he?
Sometimes he does.
Yeah. And, no, I mean, I wasn't really observing him for purposes of describing.
What color was his hair?
Dark.
No.
No, not Scott. Scott has
a
very light.
They have an artificial Scott the Dwarf.
Well, Joe, okay, does Joe even know what Scott the Dwarf looks like?
Good question. I don't know.
Scott,
about Joe Ardinger?
Yeah, does Joe, was he here when Scott the Dwarf was here?
I think Joe was here last year.
But the guy's got dark hair. I mean, it's not Scott the Dwarf. Scott is a blonde.
The last time Scott the Dwarf was here was a year ago. Just over a year ago, for St. Patrick's Day.
His current pictures have him blonde with no facial hair.
Yeah, but the last time Scott was here, he also had dyed green hair. That could throw Joe off.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yes. Is this Don or Mike?
Yes, it is.
I wanted you to know, I went to West Virginia over the weekend to see my parents.
Yes.
And somebody had run over a rabbit in the road, and somebody had put an Easter basket beside it and ran over it, too. And it was just laying in the road.
All right, thank you, honey.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. Margot Kidder calling the show.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike show.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I'm just calling to, Don and Mike had the bacon.com for Kathy Lee. What was that website?
First of all, you're talking to us.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Ay, ay, ay.
Ay, ay, ay. What was that website for Kathy Lee?
Eatme.com.
There it is, eatme.com, sir.
Oh, that was not it.
Know when you're on the radio.com.
There you go.
Okay.
Payattention.com.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
.com.
Another friend made.
Friend of Scott the Dwarfs.
Another friend made .com. Hello, Don and Mike show.
I'm losing you.
Yes.
What did he say?
I'm losing you.
I'm losing me. And he is. Hello, last call. Don and Mike.
Hey there, boys.
Hi, buddy.
Hey, I got to fill you in. Frida's not being honest about that dream.
Her orgasm dream?
I was in that dream. I was like a cheesy director. She came to New York to visit you on your little show there. And the two guys was that bench coach, Don Zimmer for the Yankees, and the manager.
Joe Torre.
Your mama!
He knows how to give a diversion, doesn't he?
He sucks us right in!
we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.